and welcome to Naruto Reviewto, a Naruto Shippuden rewatch podcast. My name is Kim, and I'm joined today by Jesse.
Hey everyone, I'm Jesse, and I'm excited to talk about Hiroyuki Yamashita, motherfucker.
Hell yes! And Tim.
Hey everybody, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
And Josh.
Hi, I'm excited to talk about the cute new snake friend.
Yes!
Who's that bitch?
New friend! Mm-hmm. I looked him up as soon as he came on screen. I was just like, where did this little fellow come from? He's got a little friendly face.
I love him.
Mm-hmm. He's a sweetie.
There's so much filler, but none of them are explaining who this new guy is. Get out of here.
Right? Right.
I also high-key am like, Sasuke, you don't deserve this. Like, this guy's so nice and friendly.
He's such a sweetie.
You shouldn't have this.
It felt like a reach, right? Like, if you went to the big fucking animal summoning department, it'd be like, well, it says last year you used your previous one for, like, a human shield bomb thing. Like, yeah, I want another one just like that.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I feel like the cat lady he knows probably hooked him up. I feel like that cat woman was just like, I'll call the snakes for you. A lot of them are mad, but some of them hated Manda. So, like,
my idea was that snake is the danger Aaron of the snakes. So, all of the rest of the snake crew were like, yeah. No, Sasuke's great. He's cool. He's like the best guy.
Oh my God.
He's so cool. And they're like, filming him. He's like, okay, yeah, I'll go do that.
No. I just don't know why he would pick a snake. Orochimaru is so scary. He must have some sort of disease now from Orochimaru being inside of him.
Like, snake.
He probably doesn't understand it. He's
right. It's like toxoplasmosis with cats.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 110%.
Well, you know who doesn't have to infect us with parasites to get us to love them? That's our Kages, baby.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
It's time for some Kage shout-outs.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's start things off with our good boy Kage, Carlo Espino.
Carlo, a small theme for your boy this week. I have, let's just say, over the past month, I guess you say, timing is nothing. I after getting COVID, like I was like, first I was like, quote unquote, lightly recovering from a tattoo, meaning I get to choose, like, oh, my leg is itchy. I must be a waif about it. But then I got COVID, yada, yada, yada. So, like, I have to chill. So I'm going to lean into some of my vices. Like, I did some of my, you know, I'm sick foods. This is, like, a longer term. I'm out of the bad times. This is my longer term vices. Carlo Espino, you are the warmth of returning home. That's right. I'm playing World of Warcraft again. And you know what? Sometimes you need something that you can watch YouTube to. Sometimes you need to see pretty colors and think about how to maximize a number, which goes up, by the way. From everything I've seen behind the scenes, it seems like they are changing and they've done a lot of pruning of the baddies. So that makes me happy. But Carlo, you are there's a consistency to you. You know how to right your wrongs if they do ever come up. And Carlo, you are welcoming with a big bushel of leaves because you're also a druid.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Beautiful Carlo. Carlo, I have a theme and it's Christmas. It's Christmas light on. Yay! So Christmas just happened. By the time this episode comes out. Christmas is the week. It's coming up. It's Christmas. We're full in, baby. Okay, never mind. This rules. This episode is coming out before Christmas. So that makes everything just match. That's awesome, Carlo. Carlo, you're the Christmas tree. You are the Christmas tree, the center point, the I don't know.
The reason for the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You know, like, where do you put the gifts? Under the Christmas tree. Like, come on now. I have lived in an apartment for a long time, and this is the first Christmas I will be spending in a house in quite some time. So I got to put up a Christmas tree.
Yay! Oh my God, Jesse, I should get you a little ornament that's for your first Christmas in your new house.
Oh my God, yeah.
I need to do that. I should get you a little ornament.
No, you don't have to. Thank you. But yeah, I was able to put up my Christmas tree this year, and it was really, really exciting because I have not been able to put that thing up for like 3 years or something now. Yeah, so I got it up this year. It felt really, really good, Carlo. You bring the joy, you bring the spirit, the festive spirit comes out when the tree box comes out and the lights come out and all the ornaments come out. It's just time. It's time to get festive and it's time to have a good time, Carlo.
Yes.
Hell yeah, Carlo. Alrighty, I have a theme. The new Pokemon DLC, the Indigo Disc, dropped. And so I will be in true fashion to me, listing the Pokemon that were my MVPs carrying me through this bitch of a game. It was super fun. I'm having a really great time playing it. I recommend it. It's fun. Nice. Carlo, you will be my reunique list named Simic, after the green blue Magic the Gathering colors. There's a lot of cross theming happening right here. I am a homosexual. Yes. You will have to suffer through that. But if, for those of you who are uneducated, Reuniculus is a slime Pokemon. It's like a little guy that's like in slime. This dude is great for me because he's very slow, super slow moving, but very, very powerful. And he has a nice little move called Trick Room where I can make it to where all of the slow Pokemon move first. And one of you will have his teammate, but just a general powerhouse. You don't have a lot of different types of attacks you can learn, but just using psychic, because you're a psychic type. Just giving you psychic, you run train on like everything. You hit hard as shit. You're one hit KOing almost everything, and the things you're not knocking out, you have a partner right there with you. That's right, bitches. They're double battles all through this fucking DLC. So remember that. But yeah, you were great at just like eating hits and then just flipping the script on speed. And that was great because you fucked over like half the gym leaders. Or Elite Four, I mean.
Hell yeah. I'm stealing a page out of Jesse's book, and my shoutouts this week are also Christmas themed, but I love Christmas. Christmas is a holiday that kind of sucks because sometimes your families are bad, but it's also a holiday that also rules. And I sort of love the sort of wistful bittersweetness of Christmas.
There's twinkling lights.
Yes, but you can be sad at the same time, and I sort of love that in-between feeling. So I'm assigning each of you my favorite sad Christmas songs that are also bittersweet and wistful that I love. So, Carlo, you are Hard Candy Christmas by Dolly Parton. You cannot go wrong with the Queen, Dolly. This is a song that's sort of figuring out how to be okay again after something bad happens. And I sort of love that. You got the sweetness of Dolly Parton's sweet little voice. You've got the hopefulness of just like, what the fuck am I going to do? But also acknowledging that, you know, Christmas kind of sucks sometimes. And it's just like, you know, it gets me pumped up, but it also like sort of chokes me up a little bit. And that's you, Carlo. You're sweet. You're wistful. You're from the movie The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. So thank you, Carlo. Next up is our Tsuchikage, Jeffrey Tien.
Jeff, I think it's been mentioned at some times, but like you are the perfect sort of like break here in case of emergency style person. I hadn't played Yakuza Like a Dragon before. I knew I would love it. And when I, you know, had to do nothing, I was like, well, perfect time. Jeff, you just know how to make people cozy. You know that there's a consistency to you that, I mean, and honestly, kind of somewhat mirrors our relationship. We see each other once a year, so to speak, but it's always a great time. That's sort of how it is with Yakuza games. They come out, you play them, they're gone, but like they are always there. There's a consistency there, and that's you, baby.
Hell yeah.
Jeff, you make me think of hot cocoa.
Aww.
Yes, we were talking about hot cocoa a little bit before the show, and everyone came to the consensus that making hot cocoa in the milk frother is superior, indeed, because it gets very well mixed, and it's warm, and then you even get a little bit of foam, which is just a good time. But you can always add whipped cream as well. You can add a candy cane. You can add like peppermint bark.
Alcohol.
You can add so many things. Yeah, you can definitely add alcohol.
Brandy's so good in hot chocolate.
Yes, yes.
I love brandy.
yeah, no, it's just a great time. Very versatile drink, you know. Like, you can nowadays, you can even have a cold hot chocolate. Oh. Like, the baristas will make it for you, you know. Like, it's a good time all over the place. So hot chocolate, Jeff, you're warm, you're cozy, you're usually warm, even though I did just talk about an iced hot cocoa, but you're usually warm. You're very cozy nonetheless. You taste great. You are just a good time all around.
Hell yeah.
Oh my god, Jesse, you need to treat yourself and find a Godiva store near you. Yo. And get the hot chocolate from there, because it is the best hot chocolate that I've ever
oh
had.
Oh my god! Oh, that's a good tip. I will have to try that.
Jeff, you are Molnir, who's the only one, well, there's two of them, that don't have a Magic the Gathering theme, and that's because I caught Molnir forever ago in preparation for this. And it is my Iron Thorns. You are a robot. Some people would argue that you're not even a fucking Pokemon. You're a goddamn vacuum cleaner. But you know what? I say to those bitches, get wrecked. Because you are a monster when it comes to damage output. In the last game, I used a Pokemon called Ariados because of its sniper ability and its multi-hit moves, where I would hit 3 to 5 times at a 100% crit rate, which did bonkers damage coming out of a Pokemon that people are like, oh, it's just the Route 1 bug. Nobody cares. Say that when your HP is like in half and you only took one hit from the multi-hit move. All your little abilities, your focus sashes, your sturdies, you can't block it because I'm hitting multiple times. You stupid bitch. Anyway. Jeff, that's you. Molnir is great. Iron Thorns is really good at having some select multi-hit moves. It's got Pin Missile, so it has a Bug Terra type. It's got Rock Blast because it's a rock type. But the thing that it always suffered by, it didn't have a really good electric physical move until this DLC dropped a move that is a physical attack that big fat electric types can use, where they throw their big bodies at the enemies to deal a shit ton of damage. And that's all I needed to set this bitch off. Not a soul alive could stand you. You're slow enough where you could benefit from the Trick Room, but you were fast enough where you could benefit from the Tailwind. You're a nice little hybrid on either end of the spectrum. And let me tell you something. All 4 of the Elite 4 died by your hand. So shout outs to you for that.
Ooh, shit. Hell yeah. Jeff, you're River by Joni Mitchell. Let's fucking go. You're Diva. You know, Joni Mitchell makes some of the best sad girl songs. And she comes at Christmas and she does not let it go. It's about breaking up around Christmas time. There's a wonderful, it's not a wonderful feeling, but you kind of can savor the feeling of like having a sad event, like a breakup happening around the holidays when everything's happy and sort of that juxtaposition. And Joni Mitchell captures that perfectly with River. You know, sometimes I too wish I had a river I could skate away on, you know, escape the bad shit that's going on in your life. This is one of the most iconic ballads of all time. It's one of the best Christmas songs, I think. And that's you, Jeff. You know, you're top shelf sad Christmas songs.
Hell yeah.
Next is our Inukage, Simon DeMayo.
Simon, I think your biggest strength is probably your depth of feeling as well as consistency. That's why for this theming, you are the near limitless episodes of wrestling that I have been consuming. Wrestling, it's divisive, but it shouldn't be, because if you ever watch it, it's good. And it just takes some time. It's very gay. It's very, very drag and cunty all at the same time. And some of the stories going on right now are ridiculous. And Simon, I think you have the ability to capture both the large bombast of jumping off the top rope, but the subtlety of the crease of the anxious millennial cowboy's face as he looks into the audience and sees a sign that is saying good things about his opponent, and that breaks him for just half a second. The subtle storytelling there is so strong. And Simon, I think you capture the multitudinous factor of both.
nice.
Simon, you make me think of Christmas cookies. Yum, yum. What a good time. Christmas cookies are one of my favorite things of the season. They're just a joy. They're fun to make. It's fun to get creative. And they're fun to eat, okay? They taste really good 9 times out of 10.
Yes.
So... you're just a good time. You're super shareable too. Like, that's the other great thing about a cookie, is like, it's super easy to take somewhere and share with other people. And like I said earlier, you could be so creative. You could do so many different designs. You can do so many different flavors. It's just a good time, just like you, Simon.
Simon, you are Gruul, which is the red and green Magic the Gathering combo. That is my Roaring Moon. Tim mistakenly thought it was a Salamence because they look very similar.
How dare you?
I mean, it's a common thing. Iron Thorns looks like a Tyranitar, but it's a robot.
I'm sure if I catch a Pokemon Go, I'm going to get Salamence candy. Same way I do
you
with
won't,
Arcanine.
It's not a Salamence. It's an Iron Thorns. It's a whole different
thing. I get
bitch.
Arcanine candy for that other guy.
Or not Iron Thorns. From Arcanine?
What's the one? The past Arcanine.
Yeah, that's because that's gay Arcanine. Roaring Moon is not a Salamence. Mm. They're two different bitches.
Okay.
Roaring Moon, also people believe is not a Pokemon, but is instead a dinosaur. It looks like a Salamence, but it's way cooler. It's very scary because it has big, creepy hands. But the stat distribution on this thing was min-maxed like crazy. You also carry a beautiful move called Tailwind, which makes every single one of my Pokemon even the fuck faster. I love you for that. The damage output is batshit insane, and the special item that makes your ability trigger disappears, so the move Acrobatics becomes one of the strongest fucking flying attacks that can come off of a Pokemon in the whole game. So that's why you're Terra Flying. If I needed to hit hard and hit fast and it wasn't a Steel-type Pokemon, you were in the battle and you were killing everything. It rules, it bangs, the camera hates you. I will tell you that. The camera does not like how your wings look, and so it keeps trying to, like, fuck the screen and, like, clips really bad. But that's why I love it more, because it's like, you're so powerful, you're breaking the bounds of the game.
Damn.
So that whips.
Hell yeah. Simon, you are Did I Make You Cry on Christmas Day? Well, you deserved it, by Sufjan Stevens. Sufjan is the modern king of making sad Christmas music. He is a musical genius. I have not listened to his newest album because I know it will make me too sad and want to die. But this song is one. He came out with a lot of Christmas music, and some of them are original songs. This is one of them. It's about fighting at Christmas time, and Sufjan's lyrics include a lot of mundane details. It's like good poetry that's like you use mundane details to express a larger feeling or idea. And Sufjan's a master of this, and that shows off in this song. It's, you know, like, sometimes you have family or you have lovers or friends that just, like, have seasonal depression, you know? And just, like, sometimes you get sad around Christmas, and this is, like, you know, you always have fights with these certain people around the holidays. And this is sort of a song expressing that, but it's beautiful, it's catchy, and Sufjan has a very gentle voice. And that's very much like you, Simon. So I highly recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
Last but certainly not least is our Jingle Kage, Jonah Eisenstock.
Jonah, you are, let's just say you have the depth, consistency, but also the safety of motherfucker, the phone. Sometimes I will put on program just so I can be on phone. Sometimes yes. I'll go to bed early just to be on phone. Sometimes I'll stay in bed later just to be on phone. Jonah, you understand that there's a coziness to be connected. Sure, there's an addiction quality to it, Jonah, but you understand that. So you filter that out. You know only the good stuff. Here's a good meme, right? Like, watching 20 TikToks, bad. Watching 18? Now that's science. That's research. You understand that. And you bring the good things to my phone.
Nice.
Jonah, you make me think of snow. Mm. Now, snow has a reputation, but I think snow is beautiful. I think it's really pretty. And very nice, like you, Jonah. Yes, snow can be a little bit of a burden to get through and travel through and all that kind of stuff. But when you take it in, when you really stand there outside and you take it in, take in the silence, take in the beauty of it all, it's really nice. It's really nice and beautiful, and I think it's a really beautiful representation of nature. Just like you, Jonah. Nice.
Sick. Jonah, before I get into yours, I want to give an honorable mention to the classic My Starter, Affogato, the Meowscarada. Named because I wanted to put a slur in a Pokemon game, but I also wanted to include Gato in there as well. Just it, the way you just one-shot everything just rules, and I didn't even have to use you, but you carried the whole like post-game to the final boss. And then Golgari, my Venusaur, I happened to be walking around. Golgari is the green and black combo in Magic the Gathering. I happened to be walking on a cliff, and a Bulbasaur just walked out of a bush and was like, yo, what's up? And like ran over to me, and I caught it. And I was very pleased because I was like, it's like fate. You were my first starter, and look, you come running to me.
Beautiful.
When you're in that the game. Does. Jonah, you are Jund. Jund is the red, green, and black color combination, the trio, the shard, if you will, in Magic the Gathering. You are my shiny Scrafty. Me and Scrafty go way back. One of my favorite photo shoots I ever did with one of my most underappreciated models that I ever used was using a Scrafty. You're hood rich. You've got the baggy pants and the hoodie. You're the hoodlum Pokemon. They fight by breakdancing and headbutting. They run. I have to hold their pants up when they run. It's incredibly funny. This is a Pokemon I hated when I saw it. Like, when I first saw the Pokemon, I thought it was, like, the worst design piece of shit I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And then I saw them in motion, and I was like, I get it. This is peak. This is perfect. The only Pokemon design that beats it is Lechonk.
They got little scamp energy.
Right. They're such little shits. And I love them to pieces. You got a cool Mohawk. You're incredibly slow. This is the slowest, one of the slowest Pokemon I have on my team, which works well with Trick Room because it makes you go first all the time. I gave you an Assault Vest because you're from the hood. You're from a dangerous area. You need a bulletproof vest on to know what you're doing, to, you know, be out and about in these streets. You are just really good at staying alive and really abusing the speed shenanigans I kept putting these opponents through. Was I faster? Was I slower? Am I going first? Am I going last? What's happening? They got super confused. They would try to the AI is kind of smart, and they would try to predict and make reads and fuck up because I kept glitching the speed out. A great time. I love Scrafty. It was, I think, in almost every single one of the Pokemon battles I had with the Elite Four and the Champion, and it rules. You also make a really cool noise. It's like one of the coolest noises out there. So shout outs to you.
Hell yeah. Jonah, you are Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, specifically by Miss Judy Garland, another diva in the lineup. I love Judy Garland. She's had a very sad life, you know.
Yeah, she has, yeah.
And this song originated with Meet Me in St. Louis, and you may be thinking, well, this isn't really a sad Christmas song, but I'm talking about the original lyrics. They're depressing as hell. But this song is actually just like a very beautiful, wistful song about like hoping for a better future and looking back on the past and the good times and hoping you can have them once again. And that's sort of like a hopeful yet sad and wistful message. And I love it. And Judy Garland, of course, has a beautiful voice. Frank Sinatra was the one who changed the lyrics to be less depressing. But you know what? I reject and rebuke that interpretation. I think Christmas should be a little sad because it's in the winter. But yeah, so that's you. You're by Diva Judy Garland. Beautifully performed, beautiful voice, and just like a wistful little tune, you know? You love to hear it. Love to look out the window with the snowfall and be a little sad.
Yeah, I feel you. I generally hate Christmas music, except there are some songs I really like the Kelly Clarkson one where she's talking about like becoming a mistress and like going to the man's house and like barely a dress and just being like, we're fucking on Christmas in front of your family.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. Mariah Carey definitely, like, we always make the joke about she's her getting thawed Christmas, out for Christmas, yeah. All mm-hmm. that stuff. She's the queen of Christmas. Kalindria Clarkson.
I don't think I've ever heard this song. You might have to send it to me.
It's called Wrapped in Red. There's Underneath the Tree by Kalindria Clarkson that even my old bones, my old Grinch bones, will shake a little ass to it because it's very twerkable. But then Wrapped in Red is her, is so like, I'm coming over and I'm fucking you in your wife's bed for Christmas. Like, that's what I'm doing. And it's, and I'm like, you better sing, you trifling whore. I love it. I stand Kelly Clarkson. I love her. She's great.
Hell yes. Well, that does it for our Kage shoutouts.
All right. In this episode, we are talking about Shippuden episodes 373 to 375. But before that, we got some Naruto facts. And you know what?
Hell yeah.
Since we've done all the other Hokage facts, let's learn about our most hated enemy and real villain of the show, Hiruzen Sarutobi. And I said this in chat, I discovered a fact about this man that changed the way I think about this fucking show.
Oh, so he got redeemed? All right, cool.
No, quite the opposite.
I hate Sarutobi. I'm sorry.
He's the worst. I did not think he could get worse, but yet he somehow manages it.
Oh my god. Damn. And I feel like we say that every other week. You know, right?
The thing that I'm screaming about, Kim, is that these notes are as long as an episode for these facts.
Yeah.
And that's how I know you hate this myth.
Oh my god.
That's how I know you hate this myth.
Bro. All right, let's get into it.
Okay. So his birthday is February 8th, and Jesse, I'm so, so sorry, but this makes him a fellow Aquarius.
Yeah. Talk about the fucking LT man, like,
Kishimoto
is like, all right, you guys go in this difficult box.
All villains must be in Aquarius.
Yes, this is difficult to discuss.
So when he died in Nart Prime, he was only 68 to 69, nice, years old. Hard living, I guess. He looks way older than that. I was actually kind of surprised.
Yeah. It was a long 68 to 69 nice years.
How old is Uriah? I can't keep anything straight.
He was 50, I think.
Uriah was 50, yeah.
Yeah.
Most characters, you know, are 24. That's true. I don't even know what's happening.
So he is 163.1 centimeters, or 5'4" and some change.
Jesus.
Making him tragically taller than me, which makes me hate him more. He should be shorter than me. So he is the son of Sasuke Sarutobi, who is the ninja Sasuke Uchiha is canonically named after. Mm-hmm. Like, named after his dad, straight up.
Crazy.
It's also the name of a real-life fictional ninja in Kodan stories, which is traditional Japanese oral storytelling. Hiruzen was among the first generation of ninja to be raised up in the Leaf Village. When the Sarutobi clan settled in the Hidden Leaf, Sarutobi made friends with the Shimura clan's worst bitch, Danzo. Oh, so they've been friends since childhood.
Idiot.
Hiruzen, this motherfucker, fought in all three Shinobi World Wars while he was alive, and I guess the fourth one now, too.
Wow.
So he's been a part of every single war. He loves it. It's his favorite.
Yeah, good for him.
Damn.
That's suspicious.
I know, right? At some point, he married a woman named Biwako, who I think is the same random child in the most recent flashback that got scared by Madara and Hashirama had to give her a flower to calm down.
Oh my god.
Do you remember that little vignette?
I might have been asleep. I don't know.
That is Sarutobi's wife.
That's funny.
And as you recall, she was a medical ninja and helped deliver baby Naruto before getting ganked by Tobi.
Yeah.
LMAO. Hiruzen had two sons. The first is our huge dick legend, Asuma, and the second is unnamed, but apparently he became an Anbu, and I feel like Danzo demanded a child from him like a fairy tale witch. He's
Agreed.
Just like, I must have your firstborn, and he's like, no, my wife will get so mad, I'll have another one and give it to you.
Yeah, because like, Konohamaru, I assume, has a dad, and I assume it's this guy?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's not Asuma.
God, imagine being like, Hiruzen, I want your firstborn, and you get the firstborn, and then Hiruzen has fucking Asuma, and you're just like, fuck.
So as we know, Hiruzen wanted Orochimaru to succeed him as Hokage Lamau. But since Orochimaru refused to believe in the Will of Fire, he then asked Jiraiya to do it. When Jiraiya said fuck no, he then settled on Minato, but still kept some of his personal Anbu after giving up the seat of Hokage. That's suspicious. That's weird. You know?
Interesting.
Interesting. Writing these down.
Yeah, write this down. For the documentary.
A second orphan has hit the building because not only did Hiruzen promise Minato he'd protect Naruto, he also apparently promised Itachi to his face that he would look after Sasuke. he could have prevented the entire series.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we were saying of like in the flashback, like, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is so much worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And apparently, and this is anime only, he once ordered Root to be disbanded, but as we all know, it simply did not.
Right.
Awesome.
Like Hashirama, he was also called a god of shinobi, but comparing yourself to an icon will only make you look worse in comparison, to be honest. He's also known as the professor due to his knowledge slash versatility in ninjutsu. He can figure out a jutsu based off the hand seals and is good at analyzing new jutsu he's never encountered before. He apparently knows all techniques to ever exist in Konoha, which makes the way his student Orochimaru, who is a known jutsu pervert, turned out make a lot more sense if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like, that
got it from him. Got it from him.
Yeah, I learned it from you.
It's so interesting that Orochimaru is so like, I need to learn every single jutsu heavy, like every single jutsu. And then it's just like, but I will only use the snake jutsus.
Yeah, right? That's so funny.
I will only use the snake jutsu.
Yeah, he like learned all the jutsu. It's like, well, instead of fire, I'm going to shoot a fire snake.
Yeah.
And instead of like a poison spray, it's just going to be a snake.
Yeah. Or lightning, a snake.
Yeah.
I think that Orochimaru is Hiruzen's favorite because like he wanted him to be Hokage. He's the 100%. One that takes after him the most. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's because like if you think about it, when they're probably like teens and he's trying to give them like a physics lesson, Orochimaru is probably like staring, listening attentively and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jiraiya over here being like, "Ayo, Jugs McGee, we got a pencil at your bar." Mm-hmm. And Tsunade's trying to like crack a bus over his head. And he's like, Jesus Christ, fuck your children.
So Hiruzen is able to use all five basic chakra natures as well as yin and yang release. He is also a sensor ninja, which is why he ponders his damn orb.
Oh my god!
The wiki states that he used this technique to monitor leaf villagers in order to maintain public order, but
just like Batman.
This will get a lot more sinister when I get to the final fact that made me rethink his entire character.
No! Oh my god!
So as I mentioned earlier, his surname Sarutobi is inspired by Sarutobi Sasuke. This name means monkey jump, which I thought was cute.
Yeah.
And it also lends itself to Hiruzen having his cute little monkey friend Enma. His first name likely comes from a mountain with the same name on the border of the Okayama and Tottori prefectures.
Big.
As mentioned previously, both Enma and his staff are references to Journey to the West. We love to see it.
Goku.
Yeah, I love the monkey dimension.
And I think I've brought up this fact before. But Kishimoto originally planned Hiruzen to be a dog, but decided it was too weird of an idea to use. I wish he had.
I know.
I wish he had. It would have made everything way more forgivable.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
He's a thumbs. Of course he doesn't fucking know how to treat orphans.
I worked him hard to give him a bone.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Doing his best. Fuck, he's a
Donzo
dog.
Donzo trained
he's
him.
He's a dog president. Like,
oh my god.
Shit.
So his favorite foods are hijiki, which is a type of seaweed that he apparently loved to share with Donzo as a kid, and sardine and sardine fish balls. A cute fact about hijiki, that seaweed, while it is rich in calcium, iron, and magnesium, it also contains potentially toxic levels of inorganic arsenic, which is probably why he looks so damn old.
Hell yeah.
Incredible.
His least favorite food is kasuzuke, which is made by pickling fish or vegetables in the residual yeast and other leftovers from making sake. So I was just like, okay. His desired opponent is a grown-up Konohamaru, which I'm saying, hell yeah, kill each other.
What? Why did he say that?
A grown-up Konohamaru? What are you talking about?
I want to beat the shit out of my grandson. I mean, it is Konohamaru, so.
But when he's older.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
When he's worthy.
His favorite phrase is absolute truth.
Sure.
Okay. And here we go.
All right. I can't even see it. I can't even see it on my screen.
The fact that I read that made me scream. According to the data book, his favorite hobby. Think about it. What would this old man's favorite hobby be?
Killing children.
Close, but not quite. His favorite hobby is, quote, chatting with young girls. Death penalty.
Oh my god.
Death
king,
penalty.
King, king, king shit. King shit.
Yeah, Tim's back in.
He's just trying to be a mentor. This changes everything. You're right. All right. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see.
Tim's
see.
Back in, baby. He's like, yeah, he's like, hey, I'm the president. You know what I'm saying?
President cool.
He was in Epstein's little black book. Mm-hmm. He conjures his orbs to look at young girls. He's disgusting. He's a predator. Kill him. No wonder his fucking wife hated
why
him.
Why did they write that down in the data book?
Yeah, why did they put that on wax?
I don't know.
Chatting with young girls?
Chatting with young girls.
Is it just like a joke?
Not just girls, young girls.
Young girls, yeah. Winky face. Like, it says it. Winky face.
Like, the perverted grandpa joke is, it's. I don't know, I guess it's funny, I don't know. But not when it's like this, when we stop and think about it, like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be alone with Uncle Hirazen.
Don't be alone with Uncle Hirazen. Why do you think Asuma hates him so much? He's a pest.
I don't like this fact. Thank you, Kishimoto.
I don't like it at all.
You should have made him a dog.
Yeah.
You really should have. You really should have made him a dog.
That's insane.
It is insane.
If he was a dog and a misogynist, I would be way more lenient with Hirazen than I love young girl and I'm a man.
Yeah. 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 I mean, as we've said, data books aren't canon. So I guess that helps a little bit. But also, fuck Hirazen. He's a sex pest. Clearly, it's canon for him.
Yeah, yeah, and he's got his little orb to observe. He's a creep.
Horrible.
He's always watching. I hate his ass.
Horrible.
Fired.
Jail. Death penalty.
Sorry, you can't
kill
go
him.
Hang out at the president's office today because you got too old.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Sorry, Kurenai. Oh my god. You're no longer valuable to hear.
Yeah. Oh my god.
16. Just like, past your prime.
Oh no.
I didn't care to learn this.
Yeah, there you go. Enjoy.
I would have been happy or not.
Yeah. Enjoy these cursed ass facts.
This is particularly funny to me because Tim gets it from both ends. Like, Kim provides horrific facts on the podcast, and then I am in Tim's DMs sending him the worst content Twitter has to offer.
Yeah.
And Tim will swing from either, no thank you, I'm full, or I'm gonna find you. And I'm gonna throw you off a bridge.
Yeah.
Punch you in the jaw.
I'm gonna hit you in the car. Yada yada yada. Yeah, you know, it's good to keep be on your toes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, keep you young. Yeah.
Keep you young, yeah. Baby.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, enough of the worst man to exist. Let's go ahead and get into episode 373. Team 7, assemble!
Let's go.
I'm excited. Although, I think they could have done the funniest thing ever and kept with the whole theme. Like,
yes.
Oh,
episode 373, creaming your hole, and it's like...
374, show hole. Oh, 375, gape hole, please.
Yeah. Open hole.
Loose hole.
Open hole.
Leaky hole.
Leaky hole sounds like the name of an English pub.
Yeah.
Yes. We're opening that, actually.
I'm going to put it in my D&D games.
Yes.
Yes. Well, blare those damn air horns, baby, because Team 7 is back together again. It feels good. Fucking believe it, baby.
Yay.
There's a moment when Jugo kind of looks at Sasuke joining up with his old ninja pals and goes, hey, what the fuck? And I thought that was kind of funny.
That was really funny.
That was good.
Was that the part where he was like getting his cloak blown open and he's just like shirtless and ripped?
Yeah. Yeah. And just staring.
Yeah. I was like, okay, Jugo, like, right. What are we doing? Thirst trapping on a.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
Well, there's enough villain fuckers out there that he knows that he'll be safe if he just stands around with his shirt off.
Yeah.
Even though he's with Sasuke. Ino is like, don't let Ino look at him because.
Right.
So before the trio can pop off and start doing cool ninja shit, Hashirama goes, whoa there, partners. The Ten Tails is about to launch a super nuke beast bomb at our cool Hokage barrier, and I need you all to focus up. Focus up. Stop talking. Luckily, the Hokage barrier simply reflects the attack right back at the Ten Tails. Lamao get dunked on Bozo. Refreshing to see.
Yes.
That creature.
Yeah.
Finally a W. I feel like we have been handed L after L after L, and we have finally started to get some W's.
And they didn't even show the Hokage, like, struggling with it. It just, you know, shoots off out of the top, and they're like, it burned itself, idiot.
Yeah. That was really funny, though, the way the barrier was, like, wobbly.
Oh,
and
I was like, we about to do the human intermortality project, and we're about to go full Evangelion. I'm excited.
Hell yes. Hashirama continues to be the coolest guy and fucking uses his wood clones to open up four cool little gates in the barrier so the Alliance ninja can get inside and kick ass. He's so cool.
Yeah.
He then finally turns to Madara and goes, okay, I'm not busy now. What's up? But Madara sits on the ground and mopes because he wants to fight real Hashirama and not a clone. It's not the same. And I love their dynamic so much. Madara is really cute in these episodes.
Yeah.
Madara, I can't help but notice there's a program called Boruto. I feel like you're not going to be successful because it's a program and the heroes are going to win. That's not super surprising. Bro, quit sitting down. Go punch people. What are you doing?
No, he wants to hang out with his boyfriend.
Yeah. What's the point of winning if you can't punch boyfriend or something?
Exactly.
It's very much like a cat person and dog person dynamic, and I love that for them, honestly. Yeah. He's just like, I don't even want to fucking play if you're not going to come play with me in person. Love to mope, love to whine. It's the best. Unfortunately, the Ten Tails isn't just going to sit there and not get more nasty. So it opens up gross pores on its body and excretes yucky monster fishing minions to defend itself. Trypophobics, look away. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
that was a little nasty.
Yeah, it was gross. Like, I mean, I guess they had to do it, right? Like, we got to have something for these red shirts to fight.
Seriously. Yeah. Need more grunts. All the Zetsus are gone. We need something new. Mm-hmm. Something yuckier. Naruto and Sasuke immediately get to slashing, and Sakura thinks about how useless she's been throughout the entire series.
Yeah.
You remember she once wanted to get stronger than Naruto and Sasuke, but gave up because, let's be realistic, no way is Kishimoto gonna let her be stronger than the boys.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like his little favorite gay boys.
Yeah, right. Also, it's easier to gatekeep guests like girl boss Naruto into taking on all the emotional and physical Sasuke labor.
That's fair.
Like, that's Naruto work, like Charlie work.
Yeah, I mean, they reiterate it here, but Sasuke and Naruto fit together perfectly.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So we get to see a training montage of her and Tsunade resurrecting fish and learning how to punch good. Tsunade tells her that technically Sakura doesn't need to be stupid strong to be a medical ninja. I mean, look at fucking Shizune. But since she's Tsunade's disciple, you know Tsunade's gonna teach her punch strong technique.
Yeah.
Back in the present, Sakura activates the little head diamond technique she learned from Tsunade and starts punching the nasty little creatures in half. Finally, please, I'm begging you to let her have her win. Let my girl chaw. Let her rip and tear. Yes. Let her go insane.
I thought that was rad. You know, hey, I knew this was going to happen eventually, but it was pretty sick. Shizune later in the episode is like, man, she just like has been chilling for 3 years. And I just thought back to the program of like, you almost died fighting sorcery. Like, bro. but you know what? Activate it in the fucking finale or whatever we are here is a much better feeling. I think it makes sense. There's like a joke for like some MOBA games like Dota 2. There's like a character named Anti-Mage, and the meme is all he does is farm. He doesn't do any of the game because a lot of other carries, hard carries, can like pop in, do some like ganks and stuff. Not Anti-Mage. Mm-hmm. Anti-Mage, he hangs back. He 45 minutes, he leaves the jungle and he goes farming complete. And then he just goes and wipes people out. That's what I feel like Sakura is now. She's like, well, maybe think back to all the things you said and you're going to really regret your words and deeds knowing that I was storing chakra in my head. It feels very much like Quiet has to breathe through her skin. Checkmate, feminists type situations. Like, oh, she's been pathetic because she was storing up her powers.
She's been pathetic.
Yeah. No, totally. Like, I don't know. And then Sakura cries later this episode too. So, like, I get so upset sometimes because I'm just like,
yeah. I mean, for what though, right? Like, she does the sickest punch in the world. And then she's like, next episode, like, all right, I'll hang back.
Yeah.
It's so sad. It's so sad they cut her comeback tour so short.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, they tried to be like, hey, there's 3 bullet points we need to hit. And only Naruto can do them. And then Sasuke was like, I have a snake. And then Naruto's like, I have a frog. And Sakura was like, I can heal everybody when they take damage, which is the 3rd bullet point.
I got slug on loan.
Right. And I was like, this is kind of an odd choice, but okay. Like, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I was, you know, Sakura punching the thing and having a great time. I love that for your girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Naruto freaking out was great.
Yeah.
Yes.
They did a great pace. I think for this part and like the next bit, I just kind of was like, Sakura's on screen, brain off, and just let it look cool, and then turn brain back on when Sakura's off screen. As just to be like, if I turn my brain off, I'll see Sakura doing thing and be like, go, girl.
Yeah.
And then when I turn my brain back on, I can be like, oh, she's out there anymore? Cool. I don't have to think any deeper than what I just saw.
It is cool, right? Like her
assuming
Tsunade's sort of thing, and then Shizune basically explaining to us more. That's like, I mean, there's a lot of tell, not show. And a good amount. There's like one big show, obviously, which is the big punch. But we don't know what the fucking this shit means. So sometimes they do need to tell, right? Obviously, like, oh, they've opened the third gate. What's that? Like, you mentioned that Hiruzen can open the yin and yang. You guys explained that to me before, and I believe the show has as well. It's gone. I probably made the joke about not knowing what it is before you explained it to me. Don't tell me what it is. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm done. I don't need to know what it is. It's not important to me.
Shizune does a lot of hard work for Sakura in this episode because she's like, listen up, guys. This is actually really impressive. I know you're all used to Naruto and Sasuke just doing absolute demigod shit, but Sakura is also good.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you.
She's like, guys, isn't it crazy that she made all of these slugs appear and is healing everybody so fucking fast?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. Her tits look great also, everyone.
Yeah.
Wow.
She doesn't only have fucking the slug on rental, she has like Tsunade's whole story. Good for her. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like we said before, like I don't think we're complaining about Sakura per se, even though at some points the brain sort of goes smooth and you're like, Sakura, bitch, you gotta do better. You gotta pick yourself up by the bootstraps. But really, it's like, come on, Kishimoto. Even when you do the real good shit, you're lazy.
Yeah.
I just really, like, since this is my second watch through, I really struggle to turn my brain off when Sakura is on the screen. And, like, I can't help but think about it too much. And then that is the problem that I have, is I think about it too much. And then she cries again. She cries every goddamn time she's on the motherfucking screen.
Get it together, bitch.
I like the tear when she does it.
I didn't mind that.
Yeah. It felt more victorious than something else.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And I like that it was a single tear. Like, she's still holding it together. She's not just like,
it felt like, I think that's like next episode or later this episode or it's right now. I don't fucking remember. But like, it felt very much like she's the audience surrogate. And she's been that way kind of for the past couple episodes. So I wish they maybe did it a little stronger, right? Where they focused more on her so that we could get some good times, yada, yada, yada. But that's why I like the tears, because it was like, okay, she's rallying and shit like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
I wish it was Hinata.
I can see that. I think the tear could have been so well used if she hadn't cried 10 other times before.
Yeah, no, true.
Yeah, I mean, that's what some of our critiques are. It's less like, this individual thing is bad, even though it is, but it's like, oh, this part is bad, and because they're doing it bad, the next time they try to do it, it's going to be tainted a little bit from all the other times they've tried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tim, I need you to know that I perfectly understood your Dota metaphor strictly because I read gay esports novels. That's the only reason.
Hell,
yes.
Hell yeah.
I know that's right.
I assume League has a version of it. I have no idea, but...
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. There are explicit homosexuals all through that game, and I think one of them is a guy who... He doesn't even kill the farm. He just goes, he just like talks to them and then back and forth all day. And then he just pops up like, hello, I do damage.
So Sakura puts the fear of women into Naruto. Good.
Good.
Even Hashirama is scared by the thought of a teen girl having Hulk strength. Shizune points out that even she couldn't learn the 100 healings forehead diamond. Sakura is cool too, okay? Okay, guys?
Okay.
Look.
Okay. You hear all these bitches saying that she's good, and it doesn't feel like they're just being like, I guess these are the three. How bad would it feel if, like, Sasuke and fucking Naruto are like, they're so clearly the descendants of the previous Sanin, their masters, and then Sakura just, like, runs up, like, on a bike, like, I'm there too, motherfucker. Oh, you the guy, bitch. Yeah, but they gotta do it.
They gotta do it.
You didn't earn this, Kishimoto, fucker.
Yeah. Yeah. Sakura does do something really cute and cunty when they're doing all of this, like, wow, she's learning this, wow, she's learning that. And then Sakura flips her hair and goes, and I don't have to make my use, like, waist chakra looking younger. And I was like, okay, take a breath, bitch. Like, hold on.
Take a dig at Tsunade right now, like, calm down. Like,
you just got here, sweets. Let's
don't shoot Tsunade while she's lying in two pieces right now.
Yeah, like, I'm like, your bitch is like in half right now, girl. You have to relax. Whoa. I wish they would have hard cut, like she said that, and just hard cut to Tsunade just like,
oh my god,
so old funny. Like,
that bitch is talking shit.
Oh, shit. So Sakura gets to do all this stuff, but then Naruto and Sasuke come in and steal Sakura's kill, so it's kind of a womp womp moment.
Yeah.
It's so jarring. It's like, she's so cool, and it's like, all
right,
whatever.
Yeah, right. Don't forget about the boys.
The boys are the center. They are the center. Yeah. Everything
and they should be. But
we're here for these boys, 100%.
Absolutely. Like,
we just crave the world where soccer gets a little bit extra.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, just like they slid her a single W, one W per 100 episodes. I'm not asking for a lot.
Arc.
Yeah, I think. The internet comments would push classes up and simply say this is her 1W. But I think, as we've said like a couple times now, like the W's don't help. They make it worse sometimes, right?
Yeah. They do. Sometimes they do.
So now even Sakura wants to be Hokage.
Fuck off.
Okay, I guess.
She's such a cool girl. She's not like the other girls.
Sakura thinks about how now she's finally caught up. I sure hope that won't be proven wrong in the upcoming episodes. But for now, they're all fighting with their backs to each other. Very cool. Love to see
Very
the kids.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. That was great. I loved it.
So anyways, enough about Sakura. Ugh. Naruto and Sasuke both check each other out, admiring their respective new power-ups.
Oh my god, that was
funny.
So fucking funny. Yeah, no.
It's
just the way they look each other up and down and amazing, perfect. No.
They're in love.
Yes! Yeah.
I don't know why there's so much lip biting on Sasuke's end, but I like it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sakura feeling like a third wheel is palpable because, like, basically Naruto and Sasuke are standing shoulder to shoulder and Sakura is facing the other way behind them. Just like, aw, bless. Kishimoto doesn't know what he's done here.
I am watching One Piece and I am so enjoying One Piece. But it is crazy, and like I always knew this, but it's crazy how different One Piece and Naruto are. And like I know that's like the most obvious statement in the entire world.
Well, there's pirate boats.
I know. I know it's like the most obvious statement in the entire world, but like Naruto, like One Piece captures drama. And it captures adventure, the spirit of adventure, all this kind of stuff. But Naruto captures that deep bond drama. Like, you don't find that shit anywhere else. Like, that deep bond, years-long drama. Like, this person has been a string in your life since childhood. Mm-hmm. And you have kept up with them. And so now you're at the fucking high school reunion. You're looking them up and down. And you're figuring out what their life is like after they've been gone for 3 fucking years or whatever.
They went to a different school and you're like, they finally moved back or whatever. Yes.
Everything you said is true. And, like, all good things. Also, it's the major plot in Kim's boys love sport
esports thing. Yeah,
honestly, correct.
That's how we know it's good, right?
The lusting.
Yes, Jesse, I can't introduce you to Danmei because it would take over your life like it has mine.
Not Jesse on her car rides. Do you guys want to read this?
Yes. I might send you links to the Piningest.
Okay.
I know you eat that shit up like I do.
Yes.
Loving it.
Big chef's kiss. Also, there's a cute moment where Minato is like, oh, wow, my baby boy managed to change the Rasengan's chakra nature, a thing I never got to finish before getting killed by that guy.
I like that.
It was very cute.
That was cute.
Minato is incredibly precious.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He looks too much like Naruto. Cut it out. I get getting confused. Yeah. Like, get out of here.
He doesn't look like Naruto. I can tell them apart, though, because the eyes.
The eyes, yeah.
One has dark eyes. The other one
is dead.
Does not.
And I think they like did the colors of the flames slightly different too. Like Minato is a more red orange, and Naruto is a more orange orange.
And he sometimes gives off like black smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah, Minato does get a little bit of black smoke. Yeah.
Like, oh, he has Amaterasu on him. Oh wait, no, okay.
So fucking Kiba continues to be cringe and fail and shows off that he can make a single shadow clone.
Guys, Kiba's so cool.
He's back. We're so back.
He wants to be Konohamaru so bad.
He does. Yeah. Oh my God. He's not even as good as Konohamaru. That's so sad to think about. That's so sad to think about. But Kiba can use his clone to make a three-headed dog and do advanced fang over fang. This is embarrassing, Kiba. You should have just kept quiet.
It is. It's literally called like tail chase jutsu or something dumb like that.
That was dumb. It was funny. He kills a lot of them in one hit, which is really funny because it's like, see how he popped off? It's like, well, he did.
He did, but like, I'll be real with you. Every time I see Kiba do this, I'm like, so what's the point of turning into a dog?
Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it's just a Sonic the Hedgehog no jutsu. Can you not
just
do
it's just like
that?
A Cerberus reference, and so he's like, I bite harder now, so that's why I have to have three guys. I don't know shit, fuck.
He is like a proto-furry, where he cannot exert any power unless he's using his fursona and believes in himself.
That would make sense, yeah.
Yeah. So everybody else shows up off their cool power-ups with Shino's being simply the worst.
That was so fucking funny.
Jesse, how did you feel during that
moment? It was my nightmare. Like, in my nightmare. Like, bugs just exploding from inside of you.
No.
I was going to say, Jesse turned off the program. I don't know what you mean.
What Shino power? I didn't see it.
Yeah, she was like, oops. Doop.
That was so fucking funny.
I thought it was cute, his little punch.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, they do an Inoshika Cho thing, and for some reason, Ino's mental yo-yo controller silhouette looks exactly like fucking Ultraman.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I didn't notice that before.
Yeah, I was like, okay, head ridge, I guess that could be anything, but the, like, it's all white, but there's, like, a circle in the chest, too. I was like, it's clearly Ultraman. What's happening here?
Ino is, like, the biggest Ultraman stan, and we have just never
come up. Yeah.
The hints have been there, and we just never saw it until now.
I think the way they figure out how to make Inoshika Cho stronger and more different is really clever, and I think it shows a clear bit of favoritism by Kishimoto, and I give four thumbs up for keep doing that.
Yeah.
Keep doing that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Tim, I extremely agree, because there are often times where I'm thinking about, like, I don't understand how, I get the point of, like, you hold someone still so Choji can smush.
Yes.
But, like, what's the, your trio, what do you do?
Yeah, the yo-yo thing, I'm like, I get it, but I don't.
I do. I can tell you.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay, so basically Ino is positioning because she can sense their souls now. She's a little ghost. And so she's relaying information to Shikamaru, just like, these are the locations of the enemies in real time. It's like having a mini map, basically. She's making a mini map in their head so he can.
Yeah, she's a Call of Duty UAV air kill streak.
She turned it into a bullet hell game.
Yeah.
Yes. And so now Shikamaru can control Choji, who spin very fast, and just sort of wing him around to those different areas.
Yeah, no, that's, but like, everyone can see the bad guys. They're right there. So that's what I was like, oh, I think Ino's doing more than, like I was like, is Ino actually whipping it? And that's why it's like, it's more specific because she has so much control.
That might be it.
And Shikamaru has the strength, and Choji just has to be big.
I think you're kind of right, Tim. In my brain, I think it makes sense if it's because Shikamaru is making the yo-yo to control where Choji goes. All Choji is thinking about is full force spinning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, brain off, go. And then Shikamaru is the same way. Shikamaru is like, okay, all I have to focus on is whipping this bitch around. I don't have to think about anybody else around me.
I think it's probably like a Pacific Rim situation where Ino is the conduit where she's making everybody, you know, Shikamaru and Choji, that much, like, twice as strong each individually, because she's such a, not, like, I think it's like, I guess what I'm saying is I'm looking to give her more than just being a sensory ninja in this thing, and I think she definitely is, but it's one of those things that, like, I don't entirely understand all this is working, but I'm loving it, but I don't need to know how it works, because, again, keep giving them shit. But it
keep
definitely
giving them shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was, I did think this was really creative. I liked it.
Yeah.
It was fun. Mm-hmm. It's very cartoonish as well. That they, there's like, of course these teens would all be sitting around and be just like,
yeah,
what if Choji was Yo-Yo?
Yeah,
what if
exactly. Yeah, because it's like, oh, wait, are you doing this because you need a lot of shadow? Is Choji only big for shadow? And then it's like, maybe. But, you
know. Also, Sai is here.
Yay.
Oh, my
he looks
God.
Beautiful. He is glowing.
He did look beautiful.
Yes. So he shows up and says, please don't forget, I am also part of Team 7, and attacks the main body of the Ten Tails from the air, but gets shot up instead.
No, I did laugh.
He was really funny.
I couldn't even laugh. You know why? Because Kishimoto is like, generic Sasuke is out, because fucking American Coca-Cola's right here. And I'm like, fuck him. Fuck Sasuke. Sai is awesome. And you drew him so beautifully for him just to be, dude, he does nothing. He, like, I kept expecting him to be like, okay, here's when I do it. And then now he's just, instead he's just standing back staring and being like, I guess my brother died for nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
I was mad at that. I did not like it, and it extremely felt like Kishimoto's like, Sasuke's back. You're Poochie. Get off here. You're written off the show. Get out of here.
It was very much that, and you could tell that Sai is feeling it. Which I'm just like, you're the realest character to ever exist.
Yeah, that's extremely what it was. He's like, hey, I'm also I'm
like,
here.
Sai has like the competence of both Sakura and Sasuke without their failings, so to speak, of like, he's so good at shit and he's smart and he's able to follow through and he's such a team player.
He ate Sakura's shit balls. He did all of that just for them to immediately forget about his ass.
He learned how to, my poor boy, with his entire arc is learn how to have feelings so that in this moment it hurts that much more because you're finally able to process just how bad this hurts. Before, it would have been nothing.
Yeah,
it would have been nothing to him. He would have thought about it.
But now, this is why I gave you emotions. It's like that robot at the beginning of Return of the Jedi that gets his feet burned. And he's like, ow, ow, ow. Like, why did you make that robot have ouch feet?
Yeah.
You gave
me to my OCs.
Emotions.
Damn. That is fucked up shit.
You better do something sick soon, but...
Naruto catches Sai, and I would pay all the money in my bank account to know what Sasuke thought when he saw Naruto holding a pale god that isn't him.
I'm gonna tell you what, I agree with everything you guys said. I was out when he didn't do anything. I was immediately back in when Naruto lovingly caught him and brought him in for what looked like a hug, and Sasuke's just right there, and I was like, no, this is what I want to see. Actually, I'm
the
back.
Drama.
My memory is wrong, but it's like Naruto just holds Sai for like a while. You know, he goes baby girl mode for a little
bit.
He does
hold him for a while. And that's why I was like, yes, this is correct. This is what I want to see. Sasuke becoming
jealous.
He's
so beautiful. Yeah. Yes.
Dude, so funny.
Oh my god.
God, and that's after Sasuke made sure he had an Uzumaki and a weirdo nerd that yells a lot on his team because he wanted a Naruto so bad.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's so true.
And then boom, look, replaced.
They're both finding replacements for each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then when the real one shows up, leave them both behind.
Sorry, get out of here. Yeah, Sai, go stand over with Kirin and shit.
That would be a fun team.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really funny.
Karen, Jugo, Suigetsu, and Sai.
Oh my god.
Oh, that would be really funny. I'm into that.
That is like the quintessential like gay kids friend group in high school.
Yes.
Like the theater kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ten Tails shits out even more powerful little guys. Sai asks for a quick hit of that Fox Chakra, but Kurama's still working on it. You can't just whip it out.
It's giving coke. But they're already addicted. Like, hey, you got any more of that stuff?
Just another hit. Get
I know Sai is just being a story point here, but the bullet points of the story, Sai comes in. He's like, don't forget about me, fuckers. Get shot. to death, gets saved by Naruto, gets held by Naruto, and then he's like, yo, can I have a shield? I did so bad. Can you give me a shield? And then, like, later, like, he tells Naruto, well, if you don't give a shield, we're going to die. So.
Yes! Like, no, like, they, I mean, like, Sai here is so bananas because, yes, he gets shot out of the sky and then immediately is like, Naruto, please help me. And then is like, well, if you don't help us, all of us are literally going to die and it's going to be your fault.
I guess
Naruto.
I'll just die. Oh, you're not going to give me Foxtrot? I guess I'll just fucking die.
I guess we'll just die, Naruto. I guess we'll die. And that'll be on you. How about you said you didn't want your comrades to die, Naruto? That's what you said.
That's why all my ink is black because of my soul.
So Sai says they need to take out the lesser freaks before dealing with the main freak, Ten Tails, but it's going to be a bloodbath without the cloak protecting all of the Alliance grunts.
Mm, that's what Naruto needs, more anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? It gives him power.
It's true.
Sai's just trying to help.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Toby was right. Seeing his friend die does make him stronger, even though protecting him makes him strong, for sure. That's his real battery. But when they die, oh, he gotta go harder, baby.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yucky. Yeah, it gets over.
That's like when you break the battery open and you get that good stuff in the middle.
Yeah. Yum, 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 yum.
But you know what? That's no fucking problem for the original Team 10. They summon their corresponding snakes, frogs, and slugs to do the job instead. I would feel so left out if I was Sai. Yeah. Also, I can't believe the snakes are talking to Sasuke again after that shit he pulled with the original manga.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the vibe. Like, all right, it's the new legendary Sanin. I do like that. I think it works, but it does get a little goofy, as we have already said. But that's a very beautiful snake, I'll say right now.
It's a good snake.
I love that little dude. I think he's super cool. But I definitely feel like that's the danger, Aaron. I feel like there's a group of snakes that are doing the Jackass equivalent.
Yeah.
There's a Johnny Knoxville one.
Yeah.
There's a Bam Margera one. There's a Steve-O one. And this guy is the Danger Aaron.
Yeah, he doesn't have any accessories, right? Like, Nampa had, like, spikes. This is just a snake. He's just a big snake, which is fine. That's pretty cool. But he looks like a worm a lot of times. They don't lovely draw him like they should. He just looks like a normal, real, big purple snake.
Yeah.
And he has, like, big, cuddly, like, cute eyes and stuff.
Mm-hmm. He looks very sweet. He looks like a little sweet
He
snake.
Calls Sasuke, like, master or lord or something like
that. Yeah, they call Sama in the Japanese.
Which I'm like, you don't deserve that. Sasuke doesn't deserve that.
Yeah, this made me be like, oh, there's some slavery happening right now.
That's how, I was like, I don't like that.
He's like, you see what I did to Manda? Who up next?
Right. But I can see this snake just being really polite and just, like, not being aware of anything that happens. Like, this snake doesn't have Twitter.
Yeah. This snake is the direct opposite of the I'm not graceful frog. And he's just like, I love honor, baby. This is my liege lord. I'm into it.
Episode 374, the new three-way deadlock. The summons are here.
Yay.
We've got good old Katsuyu, Gamakichi, now smokes cigarettes and is huge as hell.
That was a huge cigarette. I was like, that's so cool.
Yes. I was like, this is the coolest frog I've ever seen. And a brand new snake named Auda, who seems pretty nice, actually, and doesn't demand constant human sacrifices. His name also probably comes from the Japanese rat snake, commonly known as Blue General or Ao Daisho.
Okay.
Ao Daisho.
That makes sense.
Which I was like, aw, he's precious.
I
like that.
Yeah. Also, I think you've made a note about this before, about Katsuyu or whatever, but, like, they keep saying that, like, oh, yeah, she summoned a piece of Katsuyu. And I'm like, peace?
Does anyone know, and I include Kishimoto, and heck, let's break the fourth wall. Does anyone understand Katsuyu? What is her deal? She's like a fucking bloodborne Cthulhu monster.
Yeah, it's a terrifying thought, because they keep saying, like, oh yeah, even Tsunade summoned a piece, and then because Tsunade summoned, like, the big ass fucking slug, and then Sakura did as well, and I'm like, we should be concerned that two people summon this big ass slug, and that's only pieces.
I have the answer. Yeah, the only known slug is Katsuyu.
Oh my god,
is that true?
And she is summoned in parts from the Shikotsu Forest.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, that's actually pretty rad. My lore is the only time she's ever been completely one in like a location, right? When she left the forest, I guess, is the filler when they fake Rock Lee and fake Mike Eye.
Oh my god.
The second best filler of all time.
I wonder if Katsuyu is like immortal too, because like she's like just like a big hive mind.
Yeah,
it feels like.
Yeah, because they don't even really talk about the fact that Katsuyu is in two places at once until later. She's like, "Yeah, I'm there too." And like, yeah. How does she do that? Like, why are you guys making a big deal about this?
That's what made me think about it, because Orochimaru says like, "Oh, she even summoned a piece of Katsuyu as well," and I was like,
"Yeah,
what?"
Like, because he like conceptually frames it as though that's what Tsunade is doing, right? Like,
yeah,
just so weird. Just take me to Slug Dimension, please. I need to.
Yeah, Katsuyu is an Eldrazi.
Yes,
that's a Magic the Gathering reference for all the Magic the Gathering girlies.
Shout out!
Hell yeah! But yeah, I agree. She's a Bloodborne. She's an Eldritch horror that descended on the Earth and only contacts herself with bad bitches.
I bet her fucking Warren is weird as hell. Her spawning vat is probably weird as fuck. She's StarCraft 2 as hell.
Shikotsu, like, forest, isn't that like the blood? Or no, it's like bone forest. Yeah, it literally means damp bone forest. Wow. That's where she lives.
She's in the middle of it, and that's why it sucks. And she's like, I like it here. It has good hiking trails.
I don't want to ever know. I don't want them to ever do a flashback to the Slug Dimension. I don't want to do it. I don't want to see it.
I think this new lore made me like it more, and I'm thankful for that. Because, like, at first, again, like we said before, eye rolls, it's Tsunade Light. But, like, turns out you do kind of have to be a bad bitch to be Tsunade Light. And that's good. You know, hey, let's take the W instead of being nitpicky pricks. We hear you, audience. I'll never stop. I have brain problems, and it's your fault.
Yeah, we have brain cats to use.
Talked about Game of Thrones and how I didn't like it as a brave person. It was so hard, and I will never be well because of it.
I'll never be normal.
Thank you for your service. I'm saluting you.
I'm a goddamn hero, like SEAL Team 6 was when they murdered that guy.
You should demand veterans discounts wherever you go.
That's true.
Yes. Yeah, whenever they say active duty military on an airplane, I get up right there. I get up and go. Yeah. Like, I'm not wearing my shit.
I started doing that now, too, because I'm an AARP member.
Hell yes.
I'm the Lord's Army.
It's like the same discount.
I don't know if you can see, but I'm wearing the armor of God.
Yeah.
Christ
our
Father.
I'm a sovereign citizen and an army of one.
Yes. So Katsuyu is in charge of healing up the Alliance forces. Gamakichi is responsible for jumping up close to the Ten Tails. And Aoda is in charge of cutting through all of the nasty juniors. Minato and Hiruzen talk about how this is just like the old three-way deadlock that the Sanin used back in the day.
Sick.
Sai gets left behind again.
Dude,
I feel like him and Jugo must have locked eyes and recognized the same pain of being dumped for the original squad.
Yeah, they kissed just a little bit. Sai probably wanted to know what's going on under there and like touched his abs or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Why are you sweating?
Sasuke helps Aoda clear the way with his Susanoo and Lightning Blade. Once he has a clear shot at the Ten Tails, he fires off his good ol' Amaterasu crossbow as Naruto slaps it with a classic giant Rasen Shuriken from above.
Hell yeah.
Hey, you guys. Remember back in early Shippuden when Yamato was explaining chakra nature types?
Yeah, that gay shit.
And Naruto said, Sasuke and I are meant to be because my wind can help his flames.
Oh my god.
Well, bitch, guess what?
What?
Naruto's huge Rasen Shuriken stokes the flames of the Amaterasu arrow. Amaterasu arrow and makes it burn the Ten Tails up. Even more, Minato tries to give their combo technique some long-ass convoluted name,
but
that's just called the gay agenda.
Minato's so bad at naming things.
I love that at the end it was like, never mind.
Because
he gets it, he's like, I'm so bad at this.
Yeah,
Minato is such a dorky dad, and I love him.
He's such baby a girl.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah,
I do love when the show is like, subtext is for cowards. These are two homosexual men.
Absolutely.
This is why, Tim, I laughed at you every single time you were like, so what, my ninja show has Pokemon types in it? But I'm like, no, they literally only did this for this one.
Yes!
God. I mean, fair, absolutely, right?
Yep.
They only did it so that you would be like, fuck.
We fit together so hard. We are one flesh.
Insane. What did you guys think?
Oh my god, I love this moment. I fucking love this moment so much. The build-up, the long pine, exactly. It's been in the books, it's been in the works for so fucking long, and to finally see it in action and to see it like, be so effective and cool and rad and just Sasuke and Naruto back together again. It's very cool feeling. They are in love.
Get it perfect, and then just did it without even trying.
Yes, yes. Okay, yeah. That's my next note. Just the fucking fact that they can do this combo seamlessly without even saying a word is so homosexual. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, Kishimoto,
it's insane.
You can't
doing this.
Even Tobirama says something. Even Tobirama's like, "Damn, they didn't even talk to each other, and like they did this."
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they had to bleep what Tobirama actually said. He's like, "Good for them. Good for them."
Yeah, that one little dude and that Naruto kid combined their powers together.
It's I was hooting and hollering. I had to turn parts of my brain off, like not the critique that we're talking about soccer before, but the like, Tim, Sasuke has to be part of this move. You can't be mad at that. Shut up. Yeah.
Naruto doesn't even need him. I don't know why the fuck he's
like, I don't know why he needs. It turns out it didn't do anything, which I didn't love. It was kind of funny, right?
Right.
But, yeah, right, right.
But the fact that everyone's like, holy fuck, that's so sick. It accomplished what I needed to do, so whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was rad. It was, well, it was, again, this is stupid, but I was like, it should have been Naruto focused, and it should have been like this tornado of not like, because it looked like it was just a pinwheel shooting the needle faster, which is pretty rad, which is pretty cool. But yeah, like, right? I needed it to be Naruto first, that's what I'm saying. But again, Naruto. I was going to say tops. Sasuke's technique, if that makes sense. If you think about it, right? Because there's the one in the back that kind of like shoots out. That is what I meant to say, but it's not what I meant to say, per se.
It's not what you meant to say.
Yeah, it's what I meant, and it is what I said, but you know. But it also makes sense, because that's what Naruto would do, right? He's like, well, I'm not going to let Sasuke anymore get in my way. I'm just going to saddle up behind him here and push him
away. Yeah, right? Right? He's the wind beneath his wings, quite literally.
Dude, I cannot believe that scene is in this show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, like, this is a bit much. We're not allowed to be, we can't air this episode at 3 p.m. anymore. Let's go back to it. Like, yeah, we said it.
You can't spell subtext without butt sex, and that's what this is.
It's extremely true.
That is so true.
That's so correct.
Wow.
So, any final thoughts on this finally coming to fruition? Because I'm with Jesse, just like, it's so gratifying to see Naruto's like shot calling come true, quite literally.
God, he's obsessed, dude.
He's so obsessed.
And it's like, there's so much that is like happening that it's funny with Sasuke, because like, he doesn't react to anything, but there's so many like reactions in these episodes where all he does is like look over his shoulder into that's the same as Naruto going, wow, 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 wow,
yes.
Wow, wow,
wow.
So yes. Like, you know, you have to take that for what it is. And he does it so many times, and it's like, I see what's happening.
No, like, that's the thing about Sasuke, is he's really subtle. Like, everything about, well, not everything about Sasuke is subtle, but his, like, emotions, the way he shows his emotions are very subtle, because he hates to show his emotions unless he's really mad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's totally, you're totally right, Tim. It's like the looks over the shoulders, the side eye or whatever. The focus, though, is all on Naruto, like 100%. And like,
because like, I mean, the way that I would interpret it, because I'm a hater, is that Naruto matched Sasuke, but that is not what happened, right? Like, Sasuke had to have done his 50% of matching up with the main character Naruto. Right? Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. That's that is just what happened, right? So it's just insane, him just being like, whatever.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
What do you
absolutely
mean? It's whatever. I don't care about Naruto. Anyways, let me make his thing perfectly. The thing that no one could do, the guy that invented it couldn't do it half as good as this. Anyways, I'll just fit my, it's like if you bought a Toyota, shout out Cars, and you know, you go to replace the window turn handle that we all know what those are from a Ford, and the guy at the Ford plant is like, I got just the right thing, baby, don't worry about it. It's like, you had to do this specifically. These parts don't speak to each other.
It's facts.
There had to be a better analogy than that.
Such a relevant and perfect analogy.
We got
no other things except for that.
I'm sure.
You got us here.
I'm sure. NVIDIA all the Gen Zers listening know what the fuck that is. Yeah.
So we used to have to crank our windows.
Yeah. I remember that.
20 years ago.
I always used to think that was fun.
I hated it. They were always fucking broken. Fuck.
Oh, I loved it. It made me feel like I was a child working a machine. I yearned to be in the textile factories.
Also, like, at that time, like, automatic windows broke all the fucking time.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, you want both because you can't trust them.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So, meanwhile, in order to sound out whether he still has a place in Team 7 or if he should freshen up his resume, Sai asked Jugo what Sasuke's intentions are. Jugo, also probably wondering about the status of Team Taka, says he's got no goddamn clue. He's like, we're both probably going to get laid off.
Yeah,
yeah, honestly, those poor guys.
Ooh, and poor boy, guys. Am I relating to them right about now.
Oh, yeah, right? Meanwhile, Orochimaru plus Karin and Suigetsu are still scampering around. Karin is pissy because Sasuke left her behind, but he's got his old healer back, so he doesn't need her anymore.
Sorry.
Yikes. The trio make it to the site of the Grand Five Kage Embarrassment Battle see some Katsuyu slugs hanging out. Can I just say, after seeing the four Hokages come together and basically capture the Ten Tails together, it's just like, it really makes the Five Kage fight just so embarrassing. Yeah. Like, I'm so sorry, you guys. Yeah. Like,
they really didn't do
like
great.
I'm not sure. Like, these guys are gods, and they're, I think, textually, right, like, more powerful than the five. But, like, the fact that Madara just won't fight anyone anymore. He's like, I think I killed him. I don't know. Fuck. It's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Funny.
So Suigetsu wants to kill the slugs. Fucking valid. Karin gets pissy, and Orochimaru goes, cranky because your crush left you behind, aren't you? And she's like, shut the fuck up.
All of them going like, you're weird. Well, you're weird. If you two don't shut the fuck up, I'm going to kill you. It's like, you're the weirdest and oddest out of all of us.
That was fucking funny, yeah.
It's very funny. So they then find the ripped in twain, an old-looking Tsunade, who is slowly being mended by the slugs, another tick in the counter of Katsuyu being fucking, like, an eldritch beast that she has made a contract with.
Yeah. It is a grim sight. It is a very grim sight. Tsunade literally cut in half, and slugs just abounding. No offense, but they look like maggots. Like, it's bad.
They do!
They really do.
I absolutely think that's what they're going for.
They really do look like maggots.
Metal.
I did not like that.
I love this.
I also did not like when they were like, oh yeah, the Kages are in the slugs. And I was like,
yeah. They kept being like, yeah, the cock is over there. I'm like, where? And they're like, inside the slugs. Like, oh, sir, come on now.
It's like, I love this kind of freaky ass body horror shit. Like, it makes Tsunade so much cooler to me in a weird way.
I just think they're coward. I have 100% of exact opposite thoughts. One, they're cowards for not showing her old body.
Two, it's like
a pretty smart stylistic choice to only show parts of her to do it on, like, kind of make it hit home. I would agree more with the second one if they didn't coward the entire time when she was in a coma. So it just feels like they don't want to show the one of the people you're supposed to jack off to looking ugly. But whatever. I don't know. In a vacuum, it's a cool effect.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a woke answer for you, Tim. The woke answer is that the show, the animators in the manga, won't show us old lady Tsunade because she works so hard to keep that side of her hidden.
So true.
And they were like, we're not gonna dead age Tsunade.
Thought I had, and I was like, Tsunade.
Yeah, we're not gonna reveal her secrets.
Yeah, that is so woke of them that you're so right. Yeah.
Oh my god.
They're allies.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's so true.
I just think it's metal as hell that she's ripped apart and still alive.
Yeah, I think that's the concept itself was great. The part that grossed me out was the slugs.
Yeah.
But like her just being like literally the only thing keeping her fucking working is the line of slugs.
Yeah. Imagine you're the slug whose job it is to, like, clamp down on her lower intestine.
Yeah, right. But also, like, healing the cells at the same time. That's so cool. That's so
and you
cool.
have, like, no power either, so you're just like, girl, what are we doing? Like,
yeah.
It's like, she's fading. Make sure that pussy don't die.
I'm trying.
I like to think that the last of her chakra is just, like, keeping her huge naturals inflated, and she refuses to give that up. So Orochimaru says he's just here to help the five Kages, but Katsuyu goes, number one, I don't believe you. Number two, weren't you fucking dead?
I got better.
Yeah. Orochimaru says that he's good now, and Katsuyu is welcome to dissolve him with her acid if he steps a toe out of line.
I like that Orochimaru being a good guy still carries such a wave of spooky pedophile to him. That, like, I'm gonna pluck that fucking flower when it ripens. But at least he means, like, when 23 as opposed to 15 or something. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That made me realize, oh, my God, that's another way that Orochimaru takes after Hiruzen, looking for the youngins, only boys and girls.
Tim took his headphones off and ran out of the room, actually. So
running around the walls like a cat. Why did you do this? There's so many choices you could have made.
So many. Needed to know.
That's
we
true.
Needed
it's
to know.
It's a better show because of this.
So Katsuyu tells Orochimaru that the rest of the five Kages are healing up inside her slug medical pods, which is just a single large slug. But it's taking a while because her healing relies on Tsunade's 100 healings mark jutsu. And Tsunade's almost out of forehead diamond juice. Mm. She's almost dead.
Mm-hmm. Why would Sakura's not kick in here? There's some reason it doesn't. Like, they say that.
Because they're separate people.
Yeah. Transfer it from one to the other.
Yeah.
But Kasuyu's not separate people. Or is she? Weirdly.
But they're in separate locations.
Maybe it's, like, out of cell phone range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think they're different
there's
shards.
There's definitely a range.
If
it's a different shard, different pact, right? Like, sorry, this is a team. Go. This is a Ford window crank. You have a Toyota window crank. This
exactly,
don't work.
Yeah.
It's such a perfect analogy.
Yeah, I think they can share the mind, but like, they're
it's
just
too
separate.
Far.
They're
it's
separate
too,
bitches.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a certain AOE, and she's way farther
the
away.
The answer is because it would ruin the story. But the answer is also that it's too far, right? I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, once the hive mind gets too far apart, like, they can't communicate with all the pieces.
Yeah, they're essentially different people.
Yeah. So, this is also the reason why she's still in two pieces. So, Orochimaru tells Suigetsu to move both of Tsunade's halves closer together, which is so funny.
It's so funny.
Oh my god, yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
He then tells Karin to let Tsunade bite her in order to heal up more quickly so they can go watch the good drama at the other battlefield. So we get to and Karin bicker about who's weirder, but Orochimaru interrupts them to say, you're both fucking weird, now shut up. But the call is coming from inside the house because Orochimaru is, of course, the weirdest of them all. But, like, imagine the disrespect of getting called weird by Orochimaru.
Right.
I would be so mad.
You guys are so abnormal as his neck just shoots up.
Yeah.
Right.
Tsunade gums Karin's arm and becomes hot and in one piece again. Orochimaru goes, can I get a thank you?
That was funny.
That's so good.
It is very funny.
I love him, weirdly.
I like that even though he's good, he's still that bitch.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Tsunade asks him why he's being so nice when he attacked the leaf like 3 years ago, you know? Orochimaru says that he's now more interested in Sasuke's drama than creating drama himself. Like, so real, dude.
Yeah.
Imagine being such, like, a little shit that Orochimaru was like, my plans to conquer the leaf in the world? No, I gotta see what this weirdo twink is up to.
Yeah,
because this is funny. Yeah. This is comedy right here.
He's just in it for the entertainment at this point. Yeah.
For the lulz, as the kids say.
Yeah. The roller skates.
The 30-year-olds say.
Why work for drama when someone is presenting good, juicy drama right in front of you?
He had to have so many plans and hideouts and, like, dead drops and, like, booby traps and shit when he was trying to do it. And I was like, no, man, I was chill. I need to do weird shit and watch weird shit. And I don't have to have all these, I don't have to, like, hang out with weirdos and shit like this. Like, no, man, this is great. This is my retirement.
Yes, I was literally about to say, like, this is his retirement project. Like, this is just to keep himself busy. It's his part-time job.
Yeah, Sasuke is an RV to him.
Yes! Tsunade goes, I don't get it, but whatever, and then brings up the old three-way deadlock that got mentioned earlier. Flashback to the Sanin back in the day fighting the Hidden Stone. Orochimaru wanted to kill off the injured Jiraiya and escape, but Tsunade has lost too many Narutos, goddammit, and says that she'll kill Orochimaru if he tries. Tsunade says that they're in a three-way deadlock, but Orochimaru goes, fucking so, I'll win if I move faster. Plus, Jiraiya's, like, mostly dead.
Yeah.
But Jiraiya wakes up and gives Orochimaru a peace sign. LMFAO, hell yeah, dudes rock.
Dude, I saw a tweet today from The Hill that was like, 50% of men believe that they can land a plane.
I saw that, yeah.
I'm like, this is Jiraiya energy, absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Like, my thought was, well, of course I could.
Oh my god.
If I had someone at the tower telling me how to do it, which I don't know if that's included.
Oh, that's true. Plus, like, they're mostly
automated. I
was gonna
say I couldn't. I too many buttons.
See, I could do it. I'm built different. I just know everything.
I'm fucking built different.
Well,
I got it.
Yeah, if you read the whole article, there's like, and 100% of women.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
100% of women said they couldn't do it, but 100% of women actually probably could because they'll listen to the other man who's on the other thing telling them how to learn. Meanwhile, 50% of men say they can do it. 100% of men cannot because they won't listen. Once they hear a man's voice, they're like, don't care. Where's the rest of it?
I'm going too fast in the sky. Hit brake. Go land.
How do I connect Bluetooth?
Yeah, let me get my own music up first. Fuck.
God.
Yeah, I love the deadlock of just like, I won't ever abandon a comrade. Like, I won't abandon our mission. And like, yuck.
Yes.
Because I was like, what is the deadlock here? What is Jiraiya doing other than being an idiot? It's like, oh, they both want to fuck Jiraiya so bad.
That's
it's
exactly
not even
what it
funny.
Is.
Yeah,
does he know? Yeah. I'm not sure. He might. He knows something's happening. But he's extremely in that like, Kiryu from Yakuza zone that we've kind of mentioned before of like extremely fuckable but doesn't know what sex is type situation uses that for his own like power.
It's like a rock, paper, scissors. That's a three-way deadlock. Orochimaru wants to fuck Jiraiya. Jiraiya wants to fuck Tsunade. Tsunade wants to fuck nobody. So it's just a one-way street. Or Tsunade wants to kill Orochimaru. Yeah.
I think Tsunade wants to fuck Jiraiya. She just won't admit it.
Yeah.
That's really true, yeah.
Unfortunately.
So before they can continue this debate, to which Jiraiya's rebuttal was just like throwing up a peace sign, like, don't kill me, I'm cute.
If you stab me, Jiraiya will, I was like, oh, he's reached for, nope. If you stab me, then Jiraiya will be sad and you won't like that.
Yeah. But the thing is that gave Orochimaru pause. He was like,
yeah,
wait.
It worked. So what do I say?
Fuck.
So reinforcements arrive. Hooray. The three are like rock, paper, scissors. That's the three-way deadlock. And he threw up scissors, so Orochimaru had to stop.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Orochimaru says that people change as they get older. And Tsunade says Jiraiya probably died still trusting Orochimaru. And that if Orochimaru had come to Jesus earlier, he might still be alive.
Tell him.
Damn.
Orochimaru says, listen. Sometimes things don't go the way you want. Honestly, you can't blame me because I'm just human and I'm allowed to do a little mangala as a treat.
Oh my god.
Is it not a basic human right to fuck around and find out? Anyway, I've changed now and you're not allowed to get mad at me anymore for the things I did in the past.
Torturing small children was how I experienced, you know, stress. So, like, if you say that, well, those are my boundaries. And
Yes.
He says, like, some dumb shit of, like, well, if I got better, maybe Jiraiya would have got worse. I'm like, you
right?
telling yourself
Which is
that,
so
girl.
Stupid.
That's such a good way to never get better. I respect that so hard.
Yeah.
You're like, a martyr for being bad. Like, I have to be bad. I have to play, drink beers and play World of Warcraft to 2 a.m. so that my friends can survive. I'm doing that for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's honestly, they should be thanking you
yes.
for that.
That's why I got in the airplane.
It's so funny how hard they're trying to whitewash Orochimaru, but he's still just like absolutely that horrible bitch.
There's like, it feels like the left arm doesn't know what the right arm's doing, so it's like
I
want to see the new generation so I can be creepy about it still.
It is so funny how canonically getting stuck in Kabuto sucked so much and he got so tired of his own shtick as filtered through Kabuto that he's like, I'm done with this now. I don't want to do this anymore. I got stuck in my ex-husband and it was the worst experience of my life. Orochimaru then thinks about how much he wants to tune back into the Sasuke channel and see what he's up to now. Tsunade goes, well, thanks for the healing, at least. You know about the war? You do? All right, tight. Katsuyu fills Tsunade in on what's happening, and Orochimaru mentions that a new three-way deadlock is probably happening, and then leaves Tsunade to finish healing up the rest of the Kages. End of episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Katsuyu can share data across this distance, but as we know, data travels faster than chakra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The knowledge makes sense because it's the one
hive mind
insurmountable bitch that is doing all that. Yeah, the hive mind stuff. But like, much like how an infester cannot spread its goo to both sides of the map at the same time.
Tell him.
I was a Zerg player, so when Tim said the Zerg, I was like, yeah, I got this. Because the creep isn't connected, so they can't transmit the healing.
Right. Yeah. If they had a constant stream of Katsuyus, it would work. Yeah. If they could daisy chain it.
Yeah. If the creep is connected, then both, because when you're a Zerg player, your base is a living organism. It's not like a building. It's like organs. And the creep is like that lining in your body that keeps your organs in place. So if the creep isn't connected, then your organs are, aren't together. Yeah. So it's two separate bodies until the creep brings them together. And that, I think that's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
All right, any final thoughts before we move on to the next episode?
I didn't like Kieran talking about being bit and not wanting to be bit, and I didn't like that Tsunade had to bite her. Thank you.
She, like, gummed her. Her teeth fell out.
I didn't like that.
She was like, damn, this bitch thirsty. She could have sucked me off.
She did say that, and I was like, shut up, Kieran. Also, Kieran, like, there's got to be another way for you to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
You're, like, almost 20. Like, there has to be another way that you figure this out.
Sugetsu's right. You are weird.
So weird.
Doesn't he say, like, what? How do you work? He says something like that, right? Yeah. Like, he's like, what's your deal? What are you?
Yeah, she's nasty. She's gross. She's like Bella, but bad.
Yeah.
Just like getting eaten by vampires.
And there's a show called Gen V. It's a spinoff of The Boys. And it's good. I liked it. But like, one of the girls' powers, slight spoiler, skip ahead 30 seconds, is she gets big or small, and she gets small by vomiting. So it's, and she gets big by eating. So it's like, oh, there's this, you didn't choose to have this power, but it has such a downside, right? She, like, the enamel on her teeth are getting worn away, stuff like, everything, she's bulimic and stuff. And they do tie that story, a little bit of that into the story, but it's like, hey man, Kieran, she didn't get to choose to be weird, I guess. I assume she was born this way, baby.
But I feel like being born that way would also incline you to figure out, like, wow, so this is what my body does. How can I make this more efficient and capitalize?
Absolutely.
Like, you know, when you're in Uchiha and you're like, wow, so when I get my genetic hereditary depression, which makes my eyes good, how can I capitalize on that? How can I do cool things with my new cool eyes?
No, you're right. Yeah.
I would get really good at drawing my own blood into little vials and then just toss them out.
It's like, oh, I'm so sleepy, but just bite yourself.
Yeah, but then you get to like eat sweets all the time because, you know, when you donate blood, they give you little Debbie cakes. And so that would give me an excuse to like eat little treats all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd love to have this power. Episode 375. Kakashi versus Obito. Let's fucking go!
Yes. Here's my thing. This episode started, like, I got through the credits and the episode started, and I was like, Sakuga font.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's in Sakuga font. And I was like, my whole body tingled. It made my pussy juicy. Yeah, I was ready. Yeah. I was like, ooh, yes.
100%.
Yeah, I'm like, 100%. Whose job was it to Sakugu up the Kages? I'm like, you could have given that to the main team. You don't got it. You're like, no, I got it. I got this fucking episode. I know I don't have to do the first 2 minutes, but I got to do this part. Shut up. Like, no, we can. Like you said, you don't have to do the first 2 minutes. Like, I got it.
I got it.
Sakuga-san is in the chat. He's present. He's going to make it good.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, this episode goes so hard from beginning to fucking end. I watched the Obito Kakashi fight no less than four times.
Yo, let's go.
So good.
Yeah. This episode was so good that I paused it to take a nap as opposed to fall asleep while watching.
That's right. I know that's right.
Lucy was so warm on me. Oh, my God.
Oh, baby. I think this is one of the best episodes of Naruto. I'm just going to say
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. 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 Yeah. I 100%
I should probably
agree.
Go watch it again. I saw the whole thing, but you know how it is.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's just, this is the drama. This is the drama. This is it. Like, this is.
Yeah.
This is it all coming to a head. And like, oh, my God, they do it so much justice. Yeah. Like. It's incredibly done. It's incredibly well done. Yeah, no.
It's such a good point, because like sometimes when you watch a program, it's like, oh, I like the scenes in front of me. But then there's this whole new level when you're towards the end, like, oh, it's happening. They're doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
The character of Kakashi from episode one, who was weird, this is it. This is what this is. This is a culmination.
Yes, and I feel like this particular brand of like angst and just like having to make one of the most difficult choices, Jesse. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is our preferred brand of like emotional cocaine. Just like the drama. Just like
lovers to enemies. Jesse was right.
I mean, that's like such a kernel of why the show exists. Of me being like, Jesse, you can't actually like this. You're a fucking freak.
And then you watch this episode and you're like, fuck.
It's so good.
I'm the freak. No, I mean. I don't like it. I don't. I would, you know. Let's not say things you can't take back.
It's so good. It's just so juicy. It's just so.
It's so juicy.
Oh my God. Like, I know we're going to get into it a little bit later, but like, the fight itself, like, has so much imagery in it, perspective in it. So much is happening in that fight. It's
Do they start at the end of the fight? Because.
No.
Obito gets. He gets a lot of holes in him. So I was kind of getting confused on the holes.
Yeah.
Because at the end, he's like, oh, you just have one hole, and this is the bad hole, but the other hole wasn't the bad hole, and you had two holes for a second, and I was really confused by it. But regardless, I just want to make sure that it wasn't they start at the end.
No,
wasn't. Everything prior to the beginning of the real fight was all genjutsu. Yeah. It was just like, you know how...
That's right, they do say that. Yeah.
It's like when Sasuke and Itachi were fighting, and just like, fucking with each other.
Yeah.
So the Kages are back and they're ready to head to the Ten Tails Battlefront redemption round for our Kages. Let them show off, please. Back to said battlefront, Sai continues to ask Jugo about what working for Sasuke is like, and honestly, the benefits seem terrible. I would not want to sign up for this, but when Orochimaru is the other choice, I mean, I get it.
I feel like this is the time that Jugo had weird abs. I was like, okay.
Yeah, gotta Sakugo the maps.
Are people gonna ship Sai and Jugo now? I mean,
oh my God,
that would be fun. I feel like they would be friends, but I don't think they have chemistry. I feel like they would confuse each other too much.
Okay, let's cook. I know we have the best episode of Naruto, apparently. Jugo's little birds. Sai's doing his little drawings, little birds. I'm just saying.
Oh, that would be cute. Naruto asks Sasuke to put out the Amaterasu once the Ten Tails is weakened so he can extract all of his tailed beast buddies out of it. Sasuke says, no fucking way. I'm burning all this shit down and the ashes will be the foundation of my new regime.
I rolled my eyes.
He's so dramatic.
Maybe this is why it's not landing as well, much like when they did the horrible thing and what's the piss guy's name? My brain doesn't work for some reason.
Kiba.
They had Kiba be the first person to be like, you can't be the Hokage. And then he said some other shit. But it's like, God damn it. Why are you making the guy agree with me? I agree with Sasuke here. Bad taste in mouth.
Here's the thing. I agree with Sasuke, but like, Sasuke is an idiot. What is making me mad. Sasuke is like, no, I will burn I will burn this bitch down and kill the tailed beast and all that shit. And I'm just kind of like, Sasuke, those are people. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
So you gotta, like, think for a fucking minute.
No, they'd have to die. They are genetic Me, no. The guy that has no fucking idea what's happening with the Tin Beast. They were made, maybe, by the Sage of Six Paths, maybe. They belong to the Tin Tails, right? This is just fucking kaiju colonialism by the Sage of Six Paths.
They have names.
Those are his boys.
They do.
They have names and personalities.
They have sentience. Yeah.
They're happy to be left alone.
I thought they're already dead, though. Are they already dead? Okay. I don't know.
You're talking about the Jinchurikis, not the...
I'm talking about the tailed beast.
Yeah. Josh and I are talking about the same thing. We disagree. I think the big moth must die. Big turtle must die.
Okay.
The Jinchurikis are dead. Goodbye.
Yeah, the Jinchurikis are fully dead. No, I want them to live in their, like, let there be a weird fly beetle dimension. Let there be a weird cum slug dimension. And they just live in there because the frogs are chill.
I mean, the turtle is just vibing in the water. Mm-hmm, it's like,
Before they decide to blow it the fuck up.
Most of the danger comes from the fact that the villages have harnessed these basically acts of nature use them as weapons against each other. So I agree with Josh. It's not their fault that they are just huge masses of chakra that, like, are little creatures that love to run around. And just, like, the nine-tailed fox specifically hates everybody and everything, but, you know, you can't really blame him.
But he hates them because they keep trying to, they keep attacking him, and, like, the nine-tailed fox explicitly said, they don't let me live, and I hate them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because, so, like, when they come to your house, you're gonna let them sleep on your floor? Now, let me just ask you this question. What if the nine-tailed fox killed your son? Call in. Let's tell the truth.
It's basically because they are basically big masses of natural chakra, as far as I can recall. It's basically like a tornado.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, they have somehow harnessed, like, earthquakes and tornadoes and made them weapons of the ninja world.
Yeah. They don't even learn their names anymore.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Tim, to me, the tailed beasts are black people, African Americans. Are you really going to get upset that they are hostile towards their oppressors? They just want to live.
All right, let me double down and there's just a package at my door. I gotta go.
Right. Sasuke, I agree that Sasuke can burn the system down and do all that fuck shit and have a great time.
Yeah.
But Sasuke also cannot. Sasuke needs to think.
Yes, okay.
Stop thinking with his penis and think with his brain.
I 100% agree, because it feels like Sasuke is a freshman in college who just realized that, like, America bad and, like, we are we do terrible things. And instead of figuring out a way to sort of work with what we've got, he's like, I have the answer. If you just give it to me, I can make everything good with my ideas, instead of realizing that there's a lot more nuance and there's a lot more complicated things going on, and you can't simply say I know everything, just let me do it. It's a lot like there's a lot of Twitter discussion that sort of boils down to Sasuke thinking sometimes.
I mean,
and it's just like he's got the spirit, but he just doesn't know how to go about it.
They all want to be back together, you know what I'm saying? They want to be part of the Ten-Tailed Beast. They're finally home.
No!
Shoot Naruto in the back of the head. Put the nine-tailed fox back in. I guess send the ten-tailed beast to the moon. I kind of lost the plot of actually what the lore is, but maybe blow the moon up too? Unsure?
Yeah, blow the moon up. I mean,
blow the moon up. Fuck it.
Fuck it. So, unfortunately for Sasuke, you're gonna need a bigger fire to beat Peak Nasty, because the Ten-Tail simply detaches the bit of itself that's on fire and just simply continues about its day.
In the grossest way, too.
That was fucked
up.
That's why this episode was Sakuga. It's not the Kakashi fight. It's this. They're like, I don't want to make it look gross.
Yeah, I wish I could do that, though. Like, if I have, like, an ouchie, I just, like...
I have an ouchie. I want to do that.
My new conspiracy theory is that the Ten-Tails and Katsuyu have a shared origin because they both do basically similar things, of, like, sending out smaller minions.
Say it. You should say that, actually.
So Sai decides that this is the perfect moment to ask Sakura how she feels about Sasuke being back.
Dude.
I love Sai. He's like, this is a question on my mind, and I'm not going to rest until I know.
He knows drama intently without knowing it.
Yes. Sai's like, I got burned earlier, so I'm going to burn the world.
I need someone else to feel pain.
Psy needs to be on reality TV. Like, when we talk about the reality TV show house, we need to have a Psy. Mm-hmm. We need to have a Tsunade. We need to have a Madara. We need to have a Kabuto. Mm-hmm. Because, like...
Orochimaru, just for fun, even though he has to be voted off pretty quickly because we can't handle it.
But Psy is perfect because there would be, like, that subtle shade thrown his way, and then he would just come and bring it right back around and, like, hit them with such a statement that now they're in the corner. They didn't thought they were running this bitch. Until they felt that ice cold corner whack them in the back of the shoulders.
And he doesn't even quote unquote know it.
He has an instinct that, like, this is what I should say, but he does not know the depths of which he is cutting. Mm-hmm. And that's why you can't get mad at him. It's just like he doesn't know better.
My assumption is 1/3 of the foundation's like training is this. So it's like ingrained in him. He doesn't know it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. This is anti-Uchiha training.
Yes. Okay. You can ask only one question.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah. You can only so ask can one question. Back. That question needs to hit deep, hard, and fast.
Yeah.
That actually makes so much sense with Danzo being like, okay, here's how you make these crying little Uchihas mad.
Yes!
Do they have a wrinkle in their shirt? Let them know. Do they have a stain on their shirt? Let them know. Is their brother hotter than them? Let them know.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you don't know how to stand up against an Uchiha, they're just going to read you.
Yeah.
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 And there's no coming back for it.
Psy alone in the snowy forest for 60 days at the end of it. Danzo brings like a kind of awkward guy up to Psy, like, destroy him with your witty repartee. Like,
yeah.
Oh. Yes. He just goes, haircut? And the guy's like, oh!
So Sakura replies and says, yes, he is back for sure and not evil, and I 10,000% trust him. But Sai's face reading skills are high enough that he thinks her smile is a bit fake when she says this.
That was, this whole bit's really interesting. And
I love it.
I think they did a really good job with it, and they could have pulled a Sakura on it. And I mean that in both ways. But the fact that she, especially in the dub, is like, oh, she's lying. Who is she lying to, dear listener? And thankfully, Sai was there to, you know, look at the camera like, yo. She lying. And I was like, oh god, I had hope because I'm an idiot. She's not gonna marry Sasuke. It's changing. We're doing it. My change.org petition's doing it.
Yes, it's working.
And I was like, fuck you, you dumb bitch.
Yeah, he's gonna karate chop her in the neck again, and then she's gonna back in love.
Yeah,
right. I mean, she just like getting choked out. Like, I get it. But
her self-respect vertebrae was not popped in. You know, it was finally popped in place, and now Sasuke got to kick it back out.
I remember seeing this panel when I was reading the manga, and just like, and they really do a good job of like really detailing her face in this shot, where it's just like, okay, Sakura has grown somewhat. It is not just 10,000% like, I will believe in Sasuke.
Yeah.
We mentioned this from time to time, but selectively, because one, it's anime and chaotic. And two, the show doesn't follow the consistency of it. And that point is, these are teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When a character is able to be what they are, it feels good.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes doo-doo shorthand, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Ino being like, I want dick, Sasuke back, I'm dumb. We say boo hiss, it's funny, but boo hiss. Yeah, same with Kiba, who I almost called Kabuto again. You know, it's like, when it is basically a high school AU, it's good. But since it is anime and since, like, the stakes, we don't really get to live in that world a lot. So thumbs up that we are able to kind of have our cake and eat it too, sort of, in this situation.
Yeah. I agree. So meanwhile, back in the Kamui box dimension... Obito and Kakashi are beating the absolute fuck out of each other. Sakuga-san has logged the fuck on. Let's go.
The animator who does this entire fight is Hiroyuki Yamashita. He does a lot of Naruto stuff. He did like the B Sasuke fight too. So like choreographs amazingly. Like,
yes.
Keeps the movement flowing so well. The momentum is constantly going. It's just so well done.
Like, there's like a casual part where Sasuke like flips the knife in the air, and it's like doesn't even zoom in on it. Just kind of happens. Mm-hmm. Like, it like flips and he grabs it and they go on. It's like so much. Oh god, so much is happening.
Yeah.
Yes. So Kakashi tells Obito to quit the shit. It turns out all of that fighting was just your standard Genjutsu mind freak tussling.
Oy, oy, oy.
Kakashi says that since he can't convince Obito to stop being, you know, like that, all he can do is kill him. Obito says right back at you, and they pop the fuck off, but for real this time.
Oh my god, it's so good, like coming to the realization that the only option you have is to kill your friend in front of you. And Kakashi is probably just like, I try to put myself in Kakashi's mind place because he's probably so fucked. He's probably so fucked in the head right now. Like, oh my god, I'm at the end of the world. I'm at the end of the fucking world. I'm at the apocalypse. And my friend is the main bad guy. Yeah. My friend who I thought died back in the day is the main fucking bad guy.
Yeah. Like, yes. Yeah. And like, this was the person he was doing everything for.
Yeah.
He remembered everything Obito told him and passed that down to Naruto. And that's what made Naruto how he is now. And to see like the betrayal of him growing up to be the antithesis of everything that Naruto stands for, and just knowing that he's tried so fucking hard to sort of bring him back onto the right path, but he just won't listen. He's too far gone. And just Kakashi being like, this is what I have to do.
Lovers to enemies.
Yes. And the resolution Kakashi has, I know this is jumping ahead a little bit, but the resolution he has to kill Obito, like, he does not hold back any punches at all whatsoever. And like, that's what makes this fight so fucking good. Neither of them are holding back anything at all. They are going at each other with everything. And like, the show is like literally straining itself to show you that, I feel like.
Yeah. I'm like getting up out of my seat. I'm so excited. So the fight choreography, like you mentioned, Jesse, is so intensely fucking good. And it's interspersed with a flashback of them sparring when they were younger, which is such a good choice.
Even the color palette
difference between the past and now is just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Naruto absolutely. Rules.
I was ready for them to be like, okay, here we are. We're in some of the raddest shit. Let's slow it down, right?
Yeah.
Nope, that's not the case there. This is flashbacks to make the current, the way flashbacks are meant to be used, right?
And Yes.
And it's such a good choice because like, in all the most of the flashbacks we've seen, it's just been Kakashi beating the shit out of Obito. But here's this one flashback where it was apparently pretty neck and neck against them. And sure, Kakashi wins there, but they are like besties at the end of it. And it's like, well, that ain't gonna happen this time.
Yeah. And for a lot of things, I think reading the manga is the best way to enjoy Naruto. But when it comes to particular fights, like this one in particular, the anime blows it out of the fucking water.
This
is so much more impactful seeing this. And like, the animator, like Jesse said, basically that dude woke up and said, I am going to create Kino. I am going to elevate this episode into an art form and create cinema out of this fucking shonen anime.
If you told me they invented the weird Kamui dimension just for this fight, I'm like, alright, cool, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, right.
Agreed. Very much agreed.
Like, Kakashi is pale normally, but like, a big chunk of it is it's his lightning blade reflected onto him, but so much of it too is just this dimension of lack of color that, you know, Obito is able to look so crazed during the whole thing.
And
it's weird, like his Zetsu-ness is coming out, but that's not what's happening, but it is, but it's not. And then Kakashi just is like straight up like almost translucent and blue the whole time. It's what I've been wanting for Kakashi the entire program. And sort of like how Jesse was talking before, like when you're watching it, it's just like, oh, this is the time. It's like, okay, this is why we had the character whose back, like, we made a character whose backstory was I ate too big of a burger, and now his whole thing is he has to finally eat the final burger. And it's just like, oh, it was all worth it. You know, it was all worth it here. Like we've joked before, like Kakashi punches above his weight because he's hot, but you know, it's not just this, right? But still, this is good enough that it makes sense.
Yeah.
Josh, as our certified martial arts expert, did you glean anything extra out of this choreography? I want to know.
So I gleaned so many fun things. I did not realize how much of my eye So I went to Panama City to watch my my buddy fight in a boxing match.
Oh, cool.
And I did not realize how, like, easy it is for me to, like, tune back in. Because, like, as soon as he got in the ring, I, like, it's, like, sound disappeared. And I was, like, just tracking his motion and, like, cool. What was going on in the fight.
You're so cool. What the fuck?
It was, like, the fight lasted less than 2 minutes. But, like,
whoa,
it was, like, I can replay it in my head. And I feel like I have infinite frames of it. It's, like, wild to me. So in stuff like this, I thought it was really cool just seeing the juxtaposition, like you guys were mentioning, of like the flashback and like what they're at currently and all that other fun stuff. But let me tell you something. The part that made me get out of my seat and clap my hands and then give honor to God and the glory was that part Tim mentioned earlier about like that kunai that gets like knocked, like flipped up or whatever. There's a piece where the kunai's knocked up and Kakashi's already mid flip and then kicks it.
Yes.
At Obito's head. Obito's head. They use that move more than once in this program, I feel like. I think this may be like the second, or this is the first time, and they do it a few more times later. I don't know.
Yes, yeah.
Every single time it whips ass, because I'm like, the way they just get into position to kick that bitch into them is delicious to me.
I feel like they had to have a dude do it, and please don't yell at me, but like, you ever heard of a show called Game of Thrones? So the way that Arya Stark kills the Night King, no spoiler warnings, flip that show, is kind of that. And they show Maisie Williams practice that knife flip over and over and over again. And it feel you can you like when it's real, you feel that weight. And that is for a TV show that has real humans and real props. And the only thing I could think, well, you know, this isn't a, hey, this is Chappie moment, but it was like, there's so much weight in the way that that kunai is flipping when Kakashi does it. Like, and it's also sort of surprising the way that it's like, oh, it's going to get kicked off to the side, whatever. Now they're going to like beat each other on the ground. Like, nope, grabs it, goes. It is such a cool version of it with so much weight. I guess they just had dudes fighting. Like, my mind is like, they had, no one can conjure this from their brain. They had to have a fucking mocap ass dudes showing them how to do it, right? Or something.
Yeah.
But it's so weird how they're able to make things look real when the man has a lightning hand.
Yep.
Yes! Right. No, it's very that. Like, there was something that I do really like about the Naruto fights is that, like, while there are very cartoony elements to a lot of things, like, very, like, I am watching an anime element, there are so many elements that legitimately feel like if a human body was capable of, quote unquote, this speed, like, could they do these things? Like, could they do... So, and to bring it back to the boxing thing, when the dude who was fighting my pal, whenever he would throw a punch, he would throw, like, a big, heavy punch, and they were fast, and my buddy would dodge out of the way, and then I would hear two impacts from a glove.
Oh.
And this dude was throwing, like, punches from his other hand so quick that my eyes couldn't track them.
Oh,
and
fuck!
And it, like, it brought me back into watching this, where I'm just like, this is nutso to me, because, like, people can do this in some ways.
Yeah.
Not lightning hand, not other stuff, but like...
Yeah, sure.
The way they're moving so these fast. Knives, the way they're like what Tim said, like, it would not be unsurprising to me if the people who choreograph fights like this or in Jujutsu Kaisen or in these other animes where they're showing these like hand-to-hand fights, these fights with like weapons, like tangible weapons and stuff, are legitimately hiring dudes.
Yeah.
To come in and beat the shit out of each other while they like film and slow it down and like...
Yeah,
because
like you see like artists doing like, here's my reference photos, them holding the Pringles can while like whatever. Like, no, I feel like either you're a genius or you have to see like real humans do this.
Absolutely have to reference.
I agree. I do. I think so. I have so many questions about the animation process, and I wish I could get more insight into what goes on in some of these studios. But I think Hiroyuki Yamashita is one of those freaks.
I think
he's a freak. And I think he can just do this shit like off the top.
I was like, oh, yeah, I just Googled. I just held a kunai for a couple seconds. Like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Something I really like about his fight scenes, like knowing that the Killer Beaver Sasuke fight is also one of his, is he's really good, it seems like, in doing details work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of just, like, realistic detail of just, like, Sasuke's eyes following all the swords.
Exactly.
And, like, I feel like that shows up a lot in this fight because things are happening so quickly, but he's able to add, like, little subtle things that make it feel so much more realistic and sort of adds to the weight of the fight. Yeah. Like, these feel like real bodies moving in real space, like you're saying, Tim.
When B was picking up the swords is something I think about, too. Like, Tim was mentioning that kunai in the fight with B, like, you see B dropping and picking, like, not dropping, but, like, sword go down, he pick up sword, and, like, you see him do, like, you see the motion, so it makes it, like, feel more realistic.
And I feel like the Sasuke versus Deidara fight is a good foil to this, because it's like, that is a quote-unquote anime fight, and it's really, really good, but it's good to have both types, right? So that you can learn to kind of appreciate them at different points, and it's not the exact same point, but it's like some of my favorite parts of like Souls games is not when you fight a big dragon, it's when you fight a guy, right? Yeah. Like I think it's in the DLC of Bloodborne when you have to beat up that girl that's so fucking strong. It's like, what's her fucking name?
The Clock Tower, Maria?
Yeah, Clock Tower. Yeah, Rhea. It's like she's your size, she basically has your moves. Except for not, because she can fucking hit the entire screen. But still, like, that's the whole thing. It's like, this is... There's a way to make it like, okay, here's Big Frog versus Big This. I was like, oh, these are kaiju. This is scale, baby. But then there's, like, something so much more for our brains when we... You take that scale and shrink it down, and it keeps all that mass of like, importance, but we were able to put A to B to C together so much. And it also helps, right? Because we can see their faces more. We don't have to have big explosions. Yeah. We just, like, the fight is not where they punch. It's where their fucking heart and their eyes are, baby. Mm. Also, sidebar, Kakashi opened both eyes.
Yeah.
He did.
You deserve it. Yeah. You're pretty.
You deserve it, yeah.
Aim small, miss small.
Yeah, I really like what you just said, because it's a very personal fight, and so the choice to show emotion in their faces and like little subtle details is really well done.
Yeah, and like the best quote-unquote like art, what with violence, the violence has a point. Like, sick violence rocks, don't get me wrong, but it's like the sick violence plus a point is even better.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I think honestly on this particular show, whenever we've gone like absolute apeshit over the Sakuga fights, usually like the ones that we've had the biggest reaction to are the ones like this one where they're fighting and it's a sick ass fight, but it's like, oh, look at all this interspliced. Like, we're telling you so much about Kakashi's mind state in this moment with these flashbacks. Are like, I think even in the Pain fight, Pain versus Naruto, there was like a bit of that where like we're seeing the monster within Naruto coming out, and like, yeah, it's really cool, and like, it's like a fight ass fight, but like, there's much more things happening.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a better example of the juxtaposition than the Sasuke versus Deidara, right? Like this is completely, this is apocalyptic, and
right, that, or like the our favorite fight of Naruto Prime, Naruto versus Sasuke at the waterfalls or whatever. Like, so much of that fight is them,
second favorite
right, but there's so much of them like beating each other up, but then there's also so much like,
oh, it's my first favorite. I mean
our favorite in Naruto Prime.
It is the fight.
I was at Rock Lee versus Gaara, but the way when Sasuke almost throws up when he breaks Naruto's spine is the best part of the show. Like, 100%. Fuck Sasuke, but that is the best part of the show ever.
It's so good.
There's so much detail. Like, these boys are fighting, and then we're getting that. Sasuke almost throwing up. We're getting Naruto, who is, like, ripping his heart out to stop Sasuke. That's, like, everything. Like, you're feeling, and you're, like, they're beating each other up.
It's like wrestling.
My God, it's like wrestling. Yes. Absolutely. This is Hangman versus Swerve 1,000%.
Yes!
I expected Naruto and Sasuke to fight. Maybe that'll still happen, but where we are right now, it feels like we're enjoying Sasuke. He's like, I'm normal now. I want another Naruto face of Sasuke, but I think the show has moved past that, and that's fine. Is there an epilogue where they do it? I don't know, but I had that thought today, like as a side thought, like, oh, I've been waiting for them to punch each other, but mostly I want Naruto to kick that dude's ass. Well, because right now Sasuke 1, Naruto 0, or maybe Sasuke 2, Naruto 0.
Oh, shit, Gotta have a redemption round for Naruto.
You have to have that run back. Run it back,
Yeah.
So I don't really want to describe this fight too much because you, our listeners, you just have to watch it.
You just have to watch it.
There's a wonderful clip on YouTube from someone in all caps called Tennessee. It is a 4K clip of this fight.
Just type it in, like
Kakashi versus Obito or something like that. And like,
okay, send it to me, one, because I'm from Tennessee, and two, like, I was thinking when I was watching this, just like, I would love to see this in 4K.
Yes. Oh, I will send you the clip. It's pretty cool.
Oh, it was great in 4K.
It was so good in 4K.
It was probably actually 3.5 because I had just woken up from a nap, but in my, like, I need another beer. You guys can keep going. But.
Okay, I do want to point out two moments I loved. Mm-hmm. One was at one point, Obito borrows Kakashi's hand to make hand signs with while grappling with him. And it's so cunt. It's so good.
Yes.
It's so clever, but it's like so, I don't know, just like the entanglement of just like, I'm taking your hand and we are making these signs together, but also I am using you.
Making hand signs together is sexual.
Oh, that was so crazy.
It's so good.
It's sexual. I'm sorry. It was
sexual.
Like,
so
they just did it and I was like, I wouldn't.
Because he says, like, let me borrow this or something really quick.
Yeah.
And that's
like,
flirting. That's flirting. And
then, yeah, because it's so weird. But then, like, you're like, what's happening? And then Sasuke goes, what's happening? Kakashi goes, what's happening? He's like, I don't even know what's happening. Kakashi doesn't like it. What is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And my other favorite moment is when Kakashi does his classic hides underground to stab you in the asshole, but with a twist jutsu.
Oh, my God. That. No, that, okay, that scene. I could watch that scene a million times. So the whole, I mean, it's like the whole fight basically, but like this scene where Obito does the hand signs with Kakashi, then he does his fireball jutsu, then Kakashi does the mud wall.
Yeah.
And then Obito throws a parachute kunai that distracts Kakashi.
Yeah.
And then
Shikamaru wanna be at
Tim, I said it. I was like, he wants to be Shikamaru so fucking bad.
And then Obito slams Kakashi in the head into the wall.
I felt
that scene right there.
Brutal.
That hit. Oh, it's such a hard-hitting hit.
Like the way
they animate Kakashi's eyes, like, rolling into the back of his head when he gets hit like that. Oh, my God. Crazy.
Yeah, he got a concussion. Mm-hmm. He got a fucking concussion.
That was a clone, right?
It was a clone because then, boom, immediately after, Kakashi pops out of the fucking ground. Obito goes, this is the real one. Turns out it was just another lightning clone.
Wrong, bitch. I love it. I love it because it shows like how far Kakashi is still growing, even though he is like an adult and he's not like these teams, but he's still a good ass fucking ninja and he's learning and growing and he's pulling out all of the fucking stops to fight Obito.
And I think we have attributed Kakashi going mole mode to Naruto. And regardless if Kakashi has done that before, he's pulling a Naruto here, which I love. I also love the way that they animate him behind the mud wall as it's like getting torn down and he's not looking at it. He's just looking down. He knows he made the right mud wall for this.
Yeah.
He hasn't fought Obito, but he has such an amount of confidence that, burn 57% of my wall down, it's not going to matter to me because that's all I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And I love that little choice there.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Very good.
It just feels so visceral. It's so
good. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because there's like a moment, it's like, oh, fuck, is it going to burn away? And then you look at Kakashi, he's like, oh, no, he's fine. He ain't worried about it.
He's got faith in it.
I'm obsessed with the intermingling of the childhood fight to in real time fight. It's so well done. It's so well done. And then I love the killing blow as well. Like when they finally go in, I love the killing blow so much. I know it's so fucked up to say, but like,
Jesse, you and I are clasping hands over this.
I know it's fucked up to say, but I love when he kills his friend and he gets
that
too.
Killed that bitch.
That was great.
It's the buildup is so perfect.
It's
and
so
sort
good.
Of the nostalgia mixed with the reality of what they're going through right now.
Yes, yes, because you are in the vision of the past and Obito is reaching out to give the unison sign to Kakashi.
Yes!
And then Obito grabs his past self shoulder, rips it away, and then goes in for the killing blow on Kakashi.
Obito knows there's a fucking flashback. He's like, fuck that.
Yes,
such a good choice.
When shows do that, let me tell you something. When shows do that, I become Christian again. I'm not gonna, let me tell you something. No spoilers for all the One Piece girls or Jesse right in this moment, but One Piece has one of these. It's not in a fight, but One Piece has one of these where it's like this very much thing of like, here is a flashback and somebody is like the character and the flashback are happening like together.
I think I know what you're talking about.
In the same way that you have like Obito here and then like future Obito, quote unquote, like is like in the flashback. One Piece has something similar to this, but like it's a different context. But like, I love it when they're like, you, this character, are interacting. You're in the flashback and you're doing stuff.
That mirrors what
is happening in the present, the past. Like you're connecting the timeline.
Absolutely. It's such a fun device, and I feel like it only works really well in anime or like drawn media. Yeah.
No, it's so effective here. It's so effective here. So then, and then they both give each other the killing blow. Yeah. And like, it's so intense. Literally the momentum slows down and then speeds up immediately. And like, boom, it's over. Like it's over just like that.
Was there music during this fight?
There was music during this fight.
I feel like when it starts out silent. Yes.
Yes. It starts out silent. Let me tell you something.
I'm a sucker for that shit too.
Yeah.
Just close and blows.
Yeah.
It was very much like the thwacking, like meat packing.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like two naked cats fighting each other. I love it.
That raw chicken slapping noise.
Again, that's something that's low-key played out in terms of like everybody fucking has the fight with that their two characters have where there's no music. It's just them fighting. I don't care. It works on me.
I agree.
Yeah, and you just hear them like breathing and fighting and like
for a reason.
Speak on it. But yeah, I love those moments so much. Yeah. I just love the whole fight, honestly.
It's so good. I think it's my favorite fight.
It's really good.
So, like Jesse said, in the flashback, Kakashi wins their bout and they do the classic post-spar two-finger little handshake. But here as adults, they rush to deliver a killing blow. Kakashi thinks about Naruto and how he never wavers in protecting his friends and says the only thing he can do to help Naruto and he has to do this in order to protect not only Naruto, but the world, his friends, and the Obito of the past. He has to kill Obito of the present. And that is like,
Yes.
Yes. He's been talking a lot about like the Naruto of the now, the Naruto of the past. Obito. And so I think there's like a good bow on that. Like, especially because like Obito talks about it. Like, no, Rin is dead in my past. So you're dead in my future. Therefore, there is no Rin. But in the past, if I go to the Tsukinomi, Rin is alive. Yada, yada, yada. And then he's like, no, I gotta protect now. And I gotta save my memory of you by killing you now.
Yeah.
You'd want me to. You would not want to be this guy.
Yeah.
So he stabs Obito through the heart for real this time with the lightning blade, as Obito also stabs him with his blade. This sequence gave me fucking goosebumps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a detail I love is that Kakashi's hand like shakes as he still plunged through Obito's chest.
Yeah.
Which I was just like, this is emotionally affecting him so hard.
Which I
love that. Just adding that little detail. Yeah. It makes him so human.
Yeah, yeah. Because they don't always like show the schlorp of them removing their killing blow. It's like it happens.
Yeah. And just, like, the thought of just, like, you feel the friend you just killed on your hand.
Yeah.
Like, that sensation.
The heart blood is warming your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's so fucked up. I love it. So they quickly separate, and Kakashi says, call me Shrek because it's fucking ogre for you.
He does say that. It's his choice. Yeah.
But Obito says that Kakashi may have won this battle, but he's gonna win the war!
That's my enemies to lovers, is some dumb bitch saying that.
Yeah. So, and then he just teleports on out of there to the top of the Gentile's head. He's like, bye. I'm done with this.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I lose? Bye.
So meanwhile, Madara's still just chilling on the ground, just casually killing the clones Hashirama occasionally sends his way, which is enrichment for him. He knows. So Madara notices the nearly dead Obito on top of the Ten Tails and goes, I wanted to fight Hashirama before I became the Ten Tails Jinchuriki, but now that Obito's useless, I guess I have no choice. He's such a little bitch. I love
him. Nothing goes right for him. He
no, it doesn't. He's so like hard. He just wants his plan to work. Yeah. And everyone's getting in the way.
Yeah.
Everyone's being so mean to him. Yeah, I hated Madara when I read the manga, but I don't know why he's so fucking lovable in the anime. To me.
It's the like once they gave him a voice and they let the voice be like a little cunty, a little sassy.
Yeah,
like he's got a smart mouth, and that's when you're like, oh, that's how I'm supposed to read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've mentioned before, like brought it up before, of like. I guess the Japanese voice actor is also very good, but
he's very good.
But like the English is like an all timer. Like you obviously cannot shrink down the entirety of Naruto down for like, oh man, Madara is worth it. Like I think both Japanese and American, sure, fuck it, she's American or maybe Canadian. I don't know. Naruto's are great. I think Naruto's Japanese voice act. Is very interesting. It's very weird in a way that I love. But like I've joked before, I wish you could choose different tracks. Like to me, Sasuke should be Japanese. Like I feel like he's mad that he's not. And like Madara is so fucking good that like absolutely justifies. Like I want Japanese Kakashi because again, not your fault. When you've played other characters, you've been better. You know, but like Madara is just on this whole. This is like. Did he win an Emmy or anything? Can they do that? What's up? Dubbing all often is like a thankless task, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that he completely does such a great job as Madara, like it's unreal the way that he sells all these scenes.
Hell yeah.
Very true.
I'll have to listen to the English track for him.
I wanted to give a quick shout out to Gamakichi because the problem with Gamakichi being on screen right before Kakashi fight. Is that all I hear after that is Gamakichi coming out of Kakashi's mouth when he does anything?
Oh,
because the same voice actor is so funny to me. Gamakichi and Kakashi are the same voice actor, and it's really funny.
That is funny.
It just makes me giggle because I'm like, oh, that's Gamakichi.
I feel like pretty early on there's like maybe a filler or something where like, oh, that is clearly Kakashi.
Yeah,
he does not have to sound like he does with Kakashi. That was a choice that was made. And here we are.
I think one of the dogs might also be voiced by Kakashi. Mm. One of his dogs. But I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
Or maybe it's Akamaru. I don't remember.
It's Konohamaru.
It's definitely Gamakichi and Kakashi are the same voice actor. Cool. And it's very cute to me.
That's so funny. Hell yeah.
The range.
They sound nothing alike.
Yeah, I would have never thought about
whenever
it.
Whenever I hear Jiraiya's voice actor, I'm like, that's Jiraiya's voice actor.
Yeah.
Even though he has a big range, but that timbre he has, I think that's the right word, is like always there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Madara then tries to force Obito to use Rinnet Rebirth on him by making those black chakra receivers grow from Obito's right half, which he gave him.
Hated this.
It's so good. I love body horror. I love it.
Yeah. It's such a good reminder of like how fucked up Obito is here.
Yeah, he's a little Frankenstein monster. Yeah. Like, he does have half of him that's completely under control of
Madara. And, like, my brain is like, oh, he regrew the half. No, he's like, that's my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, like, the whole time Madara is doing everything and Obito's like, no, I'm in charge, you stupid bitch. I was like, I don't know, girl.
I do need to get a ruling on what happens at the end. I'm pretty sure I know, but things go quick. And people are just like, oh fuck.
Things go, yeah. So Mr. This Isn't About Rin thinks about Rin as he screams.
I rolled my eyes again when I saw
it. It was almost like he was walking towards the light and it was like Rin and the soul of young Kakashi, which died that day, were in heaven. Like, come with us. Like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I'm good. And it's also like, yo, even in your like death flashbacks, Kakashi ends up with Rin. You need to go to therapy.
Yeah, right. Just like, you just need to get some self esteem.
Yeah,
right.
You're a sidekick in your own thing. Damn.
Mm-hmm. So Madara says that Obito is just a backup he cultivated in order to be reborn.
Mistake.
And it's time to pay him back for saving Obito from getting smashed in half. It's just like, I invested, it's time to get my returns. So it's just like, cunt, I love it.
When you were on your deathbed, you signed a form that said, you owe me exactly one favor. Here I am.
Collecting.
This
also just made me further believe that Madara orchestrated a lot behind Obito.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, extreme toxic parent vibes of just like, you should be paying rent now that you're 18.
Yeah.
This is like if Orochimaru didn't have ADHD. Like, Madara is just able to hang back. He's like, why do you have a whole prison of, why do you have a whole zoo of boys? Pick one boy.
Yeah.
And then take a nap.
It's the long con.
Mm-hmm.
So Hashirama very quickly realizes that Madara's up to some fuckery and asks Naruto and Sasuke to stop Obito. Sasuke rushes ahead without waiting for our poor Naruto. While Hashirama and Tobirama make clones, Tobirama can only make 2 shadow clones. Sad.
Yeah, them being like, wait, what? Why can't I? Why is it only 4? What's happening? I'm sleepy.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. The way to get me back in on Tobirama is if they just casually bleeped random parts of his life. The voice actor just like does his lines as written or whatever, and then somebody in the editing team just randomly bleeps one every time. That would elevate the character to a point where I would be like, okay, this is actually funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Is it slurs or curse words? What is it?
He's old-fashioned.
I know it's because, like, yeah, he's maintaining the barrier so he doesn't have much chakra, but it's just like, this is embarrassing for you. Naruto at the age of 12.
You are exactly 1 time stronger than Kiba.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh yes, yes. Yeah, so they make some clones to go and mess with Madara and keep him, you know, distracted. So Obito's hair starts to turn white because this is an anime and he needs to undergo changes when he is distressed. Mm-hmm. Sasuke sends Aoda back to the snake dimension, which I was like, he's grown.
I could probably use you, but you know what? You've done a good job today.
Yeah, because the snake got caught and he was like, disappear quick.
And then he tries to shoot Obito with his Amaterasu crossbow, but it's blocked. Obito has a dying vision of Minato cheering him up, telling him that they'll both become Hokage someday. And wouldn't you fucking know it, the resurrected Minato is here too! He teleports in and gets a good slash in on Obito, but realizes, oh my god, you're the masked man? My student, Obito?
That's was pretty delicious. Fucked
up. That was delicious. So good. That was some yummy. Long con shit, right?
Yeah.
To me. That was... Ooh, my heart rate elevated.
It was
That was good.
It was a good reminder that hey, we know what we're doing. We forget. We didn't forget that other thing you thought we forget. We just got bored of it. We keep the shit we like, dumbass. This part, was cool. So it's coming up, dumbass. Here it is.
Yeah.
I feel like I never made the connection that yes, it was your student. Who was the masked man. I feel like the part of me that knew that Minato was in charge of Kakashi's group and the part of me that knew that Obito was the masked man just didn't connect until this moment.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm kind of curious how you guys took those scenes knowing what you knew, you know, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, like, yeah, I mean, it was so chaotic that it was hard to put 2 and 2 together. It's like they're when you have 2 complete meals that turns out are connected, it's sometimes hard to be these are the same potatoes.
I didn't really like think about the whole consequences of this fact being true that Obito was the same person that Minato raised up and also tried to, you know, fucking kill him.
Yeah.
And just like the finding out is so delicious because like Obito's in his worst state and it's sort of insult to injury that Minato's just like, oh shit, that was you? Oh fuck.
Yeah.
He has to like look around and be like, yeah, my brand never goes away, guys. Why'd you bring it back to life?
Yeah. God, this shit was wild to me. And then like the part, because there's the other bit too, because I think Minato says something like, it's like he can read through my moves. And I was like, yeah, because it's your fucking student who like studied you.
Right.
And then the idea that like your child's birth was in jeopardy from start to goddamn finish.
Yep.
Because of this dude.
Yep.
Maybe you should have not been doing war crimes so that you could have maybe watched the little children.
Yeah. But Minato was such a good team leader. Like, I mean, what would you think when a child gets squanched? Yeah, that kid is fucking dead. Yeah. There was no way Minato could have known that he went to live in, like, Uncle Cave and learn how to, like, be a freak.
Well, I mean, it goes back to society, right? A society that will send a golden retriever to war is no good society.
Yeah, facts. True.
That was a train. I heard a weird noise outside, and I was like, what the fuck? Oh, it's a train.
So Madara fails to take over Obito, but he makes a cute little pose, you know, he victory does. And setbacks. Mm-hmm. He looks really cute here.
He gets some fish
islands.
He's such
a little bitch. Yeah. But, like, he does, like, a little pose where he, like, sits down and, like, poses with his little hand on his cheek. And I'm just like, I love you.
He's like, even though I didn't win, I don't know if I know that yet. And I'm not definitely not going to tell you that yet.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm not bothered. I'm so not bothered. I'm posing.
Oh, I actually wanted Obito to resist me and do his own thing. Teehee.
Oh yeah. So how was Minato able to get to Obito so quickly? Well, you need to place a mark first in order to teleport, but the flying Raijin marks never disappear. So the mark Minato put on the masked man before he got killed is still there. And it led him to your little student.
Yeah, Madara's like, what's that cool back tattoo you have?
How long have you had that?
I'm gonna get one too.
Oh, God.
Shit.
We'll be matching. We're distantly related. This is a family tattoo. So Sasuke is one of those kids who talks to adults like their peers and says, like, oh, well, that was disappointing. Now that Obito's dead, all we have to do...
Because they set up this whole, like, race to get him, the Minato wins, and they all just, like, stop, like, whoa, all right.
Yeah.
I guess we're done.
Yeah.
All right.
The fastest bitch alive, imagine.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go bad now.
Or Sasuke, like, calls Minato by his first name. Like, he's one of those people. He'd be like, oh, hey, Minato. Hey, Kushina. And it's just like,
hey, Greg.
You're 16. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like, now that Obito's dead, all we have to do is seal up Madara and the nasty Ten Tails.
I love how Madara reminded him. I was like, all right, we just got to seal Madara.
Just seal up Madara.
No big deal.
The man who rejected God and said, no, I won't die, actually.
I simply won't.
He's pretending so hard that he knows what the fuck is going on. He's pretending like he has everything under control. I'm just like, you're just a teen. You don't know what's going on.
I guess, like, maybe he recognizes that it's the Hokage and now he's trying to, like, look cool so he can get, like, a Hokage,
absolutely.
Like, dap. Like, oh, well, this Hokage liked me.
Yeah.
And then Naruto's like, that's my dad, though.
He needs it for his commercials later.
Exactly.
But you know what, guys? We all fucking forgot that Obito is an Uchiha and a bad bitch never dies without a drag out fight.
That's true. That's just so true.
He's like, you can't keep a bad bitch down.
I don't need a heart because I've never had one, bitch.
You have to kill the Uchiha 10 times to make sure they're kind of dead. You know, like, they'll always rise again. Yes! He didn't die. He just went into a death drop. Like, oh no, I didn't check close enough.
Yeah.
So Obito survives and absorbs the Ten Tails, becoming its Jinchuriki. Let's fucking go. Naruto uses his wacky inflatable fox arms to save Sasuke and his dad, and they all watch and go, ew, as Obito gets nasty. Second phase boss fight. End of episode.
I liked the Jinchuriki transformation though, where like the orb, he like turns into a weird orb, and then the orb, oops, I bumped the mic, but then the orb turns into like a shine. It like shines and then it shatters open or whatever. Yeah,
it's kind of magical, girl.
Yeah,
it is.
Oh yeah, he's like beautiful when he comes out. Like, there's so many like vague anime references without being super specific on any one, kind of, in a way of like, my man birthed from an egg, he got angel wings, he has to pull off some of his shit.
Yeah, he's like Bleach. He's like Ichigo from Bleach. He's like, let me pull this hollow mask off, bitch.
Well, any final thoughts on these episodes?
Bangers.
Yeah, that was kind of, I want to clarify that, like, Madara does not get sway because they just throw a quick line of like, oh, Obito threw signs and resisted it, and he's been casting signs the entire time. Like, has he?
Yeah.
And so this is Obito becoming the Sephiroth with wings and an orb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The perfect creature.
Yeah. He was like, this is not about Rin, so I'm going to think about her really hard as I resist.
Am I going to grow Rin out of, like, a vestigial appendage, like a JRPG?
Ooh, that'd be cool. Ooh, that'd be cool.
Oh my god, yeah, no, he's gonna make a form where it's like Reen, but like crucified, but she's like coming out of his chest.
Oh no.
Or like she's like wrapping her arms around his head.
Okay.
I want to see the Reen based Silent Hill monster that comes out.
Yeah, it's gonna be real fucking near Automata.
Yeah!
Dragon Guard shit.
Oh hell yeah. One of the best episodes of Naruto. Yeah. Love to see the fight choreography. Yeah. Thank you. Amen.
Absolutely. You are God.
Yeah. Thank you, Sakuga-san.
Thank you, indeed.
All right. Well, that does it for these episodes. Let's go ahead and give one last round of thanks to our Kage. So thank you, Carlo Espino.
Thank you, Jeffrey Tien.
Thank you, Simon DeMau.
Thank you, Jonah Eisenstock.
Awesome! You can find the show on Twitter and Instagram at Naruto Revuto, and of course you can find us on Patreon, where we have many delicious treats for our listeners, including our monthly movie nights, all the bonus episodes we have, and of course our wonderful Discord community you can join. Speaking of movie nights, we had a little chat about movie nights before recording, and we are probably not going to do a movie night for December, but we will be doing a double feature movie night in January. Mm-hmm. So
it's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Just like last year when we did both parts of Breaking Dawn or whatever.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
that was so fun. Yeah.
So we'll be doing the same thing, but with Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Two and three.
Yep.
So bring your pajamas, your popping corn.
Let's get cozy.
Let's get cozy.
Yeah. Get cozy with it. Should we all fly to someone's house?
Yes!
Yeah, we can fly do that. Jesse's house would be the coldest.
Yes! Oh my god, yes! Yes! Michigan's not too far. We
I
gave
that option because I have the most space, but okay, there's a lot of ideas.
There's a lot of ideas happening.
Or I'll say my house is in the middle of all of us.
No, it's not. Mine is. Don't make me look at it. I'm off to the left a little bit. But if actually yours is like the direct middle of all of us.
Or if you can come to my house, I'm probably the furthest away and I'm in Florida, so you could probably see an alligator or get mugged.
Yo, we've always talked about recording the hot tub. And
that's true. I want a hot tub Christmas. Mm-hmm.
You come down here for hot tub Christmas. It'll be a great time.
Let's go to Nick Bristow's house. And he lives in Orlando. And
it actually is cheaper to fly to Orlando. So yeah.
Oh, shit. I've never been to Universal. Let's go.
Okay. There's no movie night, but we will say thanks as Jaws tries to get us with his little teeth.
Awesome. So you can find our editor, Vince, at SequencePod. I'm sorry, at SequencePod on Twitter. That's SequencePod.
I've had one single alcoholic beverage, and I must say I love Vince so much.
Yes! 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 Agree. Simply agree. Simply agree. You can also check out Vince's new, I don't think it's new anymore, but his album, Ruined Numbers by Hikikomori on Bandcamp, Spotify, YouTube Music, and iTunes. It is awesome.
Yes.
All right, cool. Well, folks, you know, I'm back here again to say that you can follow me at JuiceFers. That's JuiceFers. I make anime embroideries, and if you like that, check it out.
I commissioned a Naruto one from Jessie, and she sent me a progress picture, and it looks so good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
I can't wait. Yay, it's coming together so much.
Y'all are going to be so jealous when you see it.
You really are.
Man, I have one of the earliest Jessie Naruto ones, and regardless, so who gives a fuck, you know what I'm saying?
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Whatever. I didn't bring it up, you did. You follow me on Twitter. We're having a special Greetings Adventurers episode that happened in the past as you're listening to this.
Yay!
But if you have been curious about listening to Greetings Adventurers and don't know where to do it, we're doing a one-shot with friend of the pod, Pat Edwards. So that will be... on the feed, I don't fucking know anymore. Tomorrow, 4 days from now, I don't know. But there'll be two special little eppies for Crimma time.
That's fun.
Yeah,
it's been
great fun. Oh, yeah.
The reason I had an alcoholic beverage tonight is directly because Pat Edwards added me and said that it's Black Manhattan season, so that's what I made for myself.
Nice.
Black
nice.
Man.
Black man wearing hats, yeah.
Hat man.
Yeah.
Black Manhattan. You could find me all across the internet at Josketh. That's at JOSKETH. I am out here, so find me and follow me, retweet my things, laugh at my jokes. I'm still waiting for the just like cookout pussy antics to happen on Blue Sky. It's really suburban over there, and it bores me a little bit.
I need to get on that. I'm
telling you, I just literally because
Kim won't join. What's Kim join?
Kim won't join, and so it's just like it won't get messy, and I just need it to be messy. Like, no, there was somebody today earlier on Twitter tweeting about lubricant flavors and how people need to be mindful of the lubricant flavors because that's what's making their backs fat.
What?
And I was in. Here's the thing: is every time people tweet this stuff, we lose our minds laughing at how stupid they are. And then people drag them for it. And it's great. I gave our friends on the cast a taste of this. I posted a link in our chat from a tweet that's very funny because it's a very cute little, if it's not like this, I don't want it picture. And the comments are them picking the whole thing apart. And it's so funny to me and I love it. It's great.
Yeah.
But this is what I want out of Blue Sky. Join Blue Sky, follow me and make it happen. I want to see the mess. I'm going to see the bullshittery. And then follow me on Instagram, too, because you'll see naked dudes.
Hell yeah. Speaking of, like, Twitter, Blue Sky mess, have you seen the stuff that's going on in, like, book talk on, like, that edge of just, like, the girl who made a bunch of fake accounts?
Yeah.
Yes.
People were like, 2023, a girl came back to life, and with the sock puppets, it's been a great year.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, there's one author who's involved. Her name is Bethany Baptiste, and she made the funniest thread about it, and I'm just like, I am going to get into reading young adult novels specifically for this one girl because her writing that thread was so funny. That's that funny. I want to read her books.
Hell yeah, I love that.
Send that to me.
I will. Oh my god, it's so good. You can find me everywhere at Kim Catties. That's at KYMCATTYS. You can find links to the other shows I've been on my Twitter profile. I will eventually get on Blue Sky. I don't know.
Kim, do it tonight, promises. Bitch.
I should.
If you don't, I'm going to hit you. Next time I see you, I'm going to hit you with a damn. I'm going to punch you.
Wow. But what if I deserve it?
You do deserve it for not joining the site that I sometimes forget exists for a month at a time.
Okay, because like in my mind, everyone's super active on Blue Sky and no one's on Twitter anymore.
Some people are. It depends. Okay,
okay. It's just a mess. No, like social media is just a mess now. Like, like the people... Like Twitter is desolate, it's desolate wasteland now. But Blue Sky is like millennial Twitter. So like Josh was alluding to earlier, it's kind of boring. Like
it's really suburban. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. If you want to see sex workers get mad at drill, Blue Sky is the place for you.
What? That's so funny. Okay, yeah, I do kind of want to see
this
that.
This is a long app. We don't got time.
Yeah, we can't get into all of it. It's fucking crazy. Honestly, though, like everybody out there, I will say it until my balls fall off. Find the creators you like. Yes. And engage with all of their fucking media. Mm-hmm. Like it, add it to collections, save it to bookmarks, whatever.
Print it
engage,
out.
engage.
Print our podcast out. Print it
literally,
out.
Literally, like, yes. Download it, save it, share it, click the share button on everything. If you if there's a TikTok creator that you like, comment that, like, just comment something stupid. LOL, emoji.
We're all busy. You're listening to a podcast. Pick one of your podcasts every week to leave a review. You don't have to leave a review for every show. Don't think of it as like, oh, fuck, I'm so behind, I can't do it. One show a week. Doesn't have to be us, but like one show a week.
Yes.
Where we go all. Let's go.
Yeah, go off. Like, no. It is imperative for you, the listener, to actively engage in your favorite content because like when I say everybody is hurting, I mean like, everybody.
I saw some threads from like some people today. It's like, all right, I guess I'm never that bad.
Yeah, there are Twitch streams that I'm watching, or not that I'm watching, but I've seen Twitch streams that usually have like upwards of 60 to 80K, struggling to break 20.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, like shit's getting bleak. And like
our Thursday stream often has upwards of 16 people, and it was like at 9 today. Why do we do this? We have negative growth. I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
No, I totally get it.
No one sees our shit anymore. So
no one sees it. Yeah. So we really got to, everyone's got to engage, and tell a friend.
We got to start doing like illegal, parasocial, like weird shit. Like you're my best friend. You're my bestie. Oh, Jennifer's not giving it to me right. Can I talk to you secretly? Like,
yeah, we should bring it back.
I need to talk to you.
Also, Tim, you have to, I'm telling you, turn up that bisexual lighting, get the Vaseline Cocoa Radiant lotion, rub the girls down and just do a little jiggle every once in a while.
We're right deep in this is a long one. A couple months ago, I said that I saw a porn doer with a Sasuke tattoo. The girl that is the central titty girl from the Twitch stuff, that's the porn doer. She has a Sasuke tattoo on her Morpai. She has a Sasuke tattoo on her leg. Now you can know.
That's true. So I may not support her now because I cannot get behind Sasuke. I'm just kidding. I support small business.
Josh, check this out.
Well, also, I put out a Christmas playlist, so if you like the songs I talk about in my Kage shoutouts, just search Finding PD on Spotify. You could also find it on my Twitter. Please favorite it and listen to it. It's good. I have good music taste.
Yeah, you do.
You know?
Yes.
It's one of your top traits, one of many.
Thank you. I like to think so as well. Yeah. So it's affirming to hear you say that. That does it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, live, laugh, believe it. And you know what? Sometimes you just have to kill somebody.
Sometimes you do.
Sometimes you do.
Kill your darlings/best friends.
Yeah, they cannot be redeemed.
Just,
parody. All right. Bye.